Blog Talk Radio.
Destiny.
Hello, everybody. Hi, this is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Talk. Oh, actually, Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If this is your first time here, we talk about spiritual stuff, and we do readings on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So, we'll jump right into the whole thing here. I just want to get things across. If you want to give a call in here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. We also got some callers in the queue, so we'll get to you in just a moment. Let's see here. Let's bring my first caller on first and make sure we got some good reception going on out there. So, there we go. Oh, that was sucky. All right. Area code 910, welcome.
Hello.
So how's it going?
Okay, how about you?
I'm doing great. I just want to make sure I actually can hear me, because before I went into the spill and saying, hey, welcome to the show, I was like, oh, I want people's actually listening or hearing me.
Yeah, so I can hear you here and I can hear you online, so you are good.
Okay, so I was like, I want to tell everybody, you call in, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. We'll be here for 2 hours. Doing nothing but readings, angel card readings, past life readings, whatever you like. Throw it out there. I got the cards. I got my head. I got my mind. Everything's kicking in.
Mind, body, spirit, all in one.
Yeah. So if you want to take advantage to get a private session, which I always recommend to do, because I do three card angel pyramid spreads here on the air. But to really get a full advantage of the whole thing, you should get a 7 card one, which takes about 40 minutes. That's why we can't do them on the air. They're very detailed. If you want to take advantage of that, just give us a call at 740-500-8863 or call me on Skype, which is actually a number, 740-601-9835. If you also want to just contact me through my website, that's easy to do too as well. And plus the people who want to donate to the show, that's where you go anyway. So go to www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Make your donations. We appreciate everyone and everything that anybody does for us, because it's like we're all working together, which contributes to the show of getting the word and the message out. So that's what we want to do. We reach so many people, so therefore in the process of you making your donation, you're also helping that connection. So therefore, it's all a group effort. And like I said, for everybody who donates, it's called the Going to London. Actually, it's Going to England. And Arthur Finley College Fund and Support the Show Fund. But right now we got some really good specials going on right now too, because for only a 60-minute session, it only is going to cost you $33.33, and for a 40-minute session, it's only $22.22. If you want to get a 20-minute session, that's $11.11. If you want to take advantage of the 15-minute session, which is a 1-card angel reading, which we can actually take 1 card and do 1 reading for you, it's very insightful too as well. A lot of people are very surprised exactly what you can do with 1 card. So you can imagine doing a 7-card pyramid spread. Intense. And that's only $9.99. If you're a person who'd like to have some time, we also have 90-minute to 2-hour sessions, which are only going for $77.77. So you see, there's all kinds of specials going on. So there's no reason why you can't take advantage of the situation to find the answers you've been seeking for so long, and this is the beginning of a new year. So why not make it now? So let's get with the show and talk about things. And if I'm not mistaken, Lori had a fantastic dream last night, and so she's wanted to come on the air, and we wanted to sit there, and I'll go over the dream itself and analyze it, and she's going to tell us all about it. Right, Lori?
Yes, I am. Okay, so in my dream, I'll just jump right into it. Well, why mess around? Anyway,
that's right.
In my dream, I had this friend. It was a guy, and, you know, we're just have a conversation back and forth, like just like you and I, you know, just straight up friends.
Right.
Well, at some point in the dream, he got to the point I was talking to him. He goes, well, I gotta go do this and I'll call you back. So it's more like he was the one calling me all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's like there was more for him in this than there was for me. I'm just looking at it, we're just friends. And this kind of goes in relation to my current situation anyway.
Right.
But yeah, so then And then the next thing, you know, I remember thinking, you know, we're just friends. You know, it's nice that he's calling and talking and so forth, but we're just friends. Well, get into a car and take a drive,
mm-hmm.
heading towards town. The town is all lit up, nice, bright. I mean, it's like almost like Christmas out. It wasn't Christmas, but it's just that
many. Oh, you
got
it.
Very bright. So anyway, yeah. I'm driving.
Yeah.
Going through town, and I'm like, we're holding hands. I don't know how that ended up happening, but we're holding hands, and I mentioned, I'm like, I love this town. It's so full of heart and soul. And then
mm-hmm.
next thing I know, I realize something. It's like my mind shifted to the point we're not just friends. It's like I accepted the fact that we're not just friends. There's more to it, and I was open to that. And then here I am. I take my hand, is like caressing him on the face, and he kind of leans in towards me. And then we just kind of, it was like downtown, so we just pulled over and stopped for a moment. And then at that point, my mom woke me up, so I don't know where else it was going from there, but maybe it was a good timing. I don't know. Anyway, he was tall, blonde, muscular built, and I don't know if that really signifies anything, but...
That's me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, Jay is brunette, not blonde, but anyway.
Gotcha.
So, instead of, before I say anything to you, what I thought it was about, I want to see what your interpretation was of that dream.
Okay. Now?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I guess
I'm done. That was pretty much it. But it was very specific, so.
I put her on the spot, so she put me on the spot, huh? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that great? Well, we're going to take a commercial. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. You're crazy.
No, I was sitting there looking at the situation going, okay, we look at this town. I'd like, you love this town. And I just feel like you're in a good place in your life, and the town represents you and your life, and you love it. So everything's going good for you.
Mm-hmm.
The person, see, when I look at the blonde, I see it more as not the color of hair. It's more of the ideal of a person that you're waiting for to, it's like, we're just friends. I like that part. But it's like many aspects of a relationship. The hair represents enlightenment.
Okay.
Because it's hair. And it's on top of someone's head, and that's where we usually get, that's where the crown chakra is. That's where we get all, you know, the guidance coming through and that kind of stuff. Almost like it's
A guide, maybe? One of my spirit guides, maybe?
But you know, sometimes people have to understand one thing with the presence in certain situations of our higher selves.
Mm-hmm.
They'll look like certain people, and you take a look at them real closely, but some things might not match up, like the hair. You know, angelic anything is always a brighter looking situation of light blonde hair or somewhere around, you know, somewhere around there. When you're actually picking up on somebody, when you keep saying we're just friends, because I still feel like there's a connection there at what's going on in your life. So I feel like it's more of a higher self of somebody else who it's pointing out that since you are in a good point in your life, another person is too, just not willing to admit it because he thinks he has to do all this crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, I know. And what? So
the holding hands is the union that you have already, and then you keep saying we're just friends. I think it's because
that's
before.
What I say now, right? Cause
yeah, until I turned today, I turned and said
you laughed at me. You seriously laughed at me. Okay, whatever.
Well, okay, I laugh at you, but I was also remembering when we sat there and talked about the situation. Where I sat there and going, I said something about. I don't know, the fire going out or something like that. I said, you can't go out with that because you got a boyfriend. And you said, okay, that's where you're supposed to come in and say, I have a
one. I'm like, well, technically, I don't have one. But then again,
technically,
see, there's the technicality of it. There's the technicality of it because I'm waiting for him to say those words before I'll actually accept the fact that we actually are. When in reality, when I woke up from this dream, it's like my mind shifted from that, and I realized at that point, okay, Laura, you might as well just accept it.
Yeah, but she has it.
Yes, I have. I actually have. I have actually accepted the fact.
If you've done this and you have with all your heart, then why are you so defensive?
Am I being defensive right now?
See, you have to ask someone if you're defensive because you don't want to admit it.
No, I'm not being defensive. And if I am, I'm not meaning to. What I'm trying to get at was.
She's defensive. She's in denial. And then she's going to say, no, I'm not. And then I'm going to say, yes, you are. And yes, you're not.
What I'm trying to say is I made the explanation that actually.
On a psychic sense, I can still detect defense.
Yes, I hear you, and I'm listening.
Okay, I pulled out three cards for you, and it says, remember who you are. Archangel Michael's asking you to cut the cords to that last little sever. You are a powerful, loving, creative child of God. You are very loved. So therefore, the situation is unfolding in front of you. You don't wait for someone to establish anything. We're not claiming land here. We're sitting here looking at the situation for what it is and how we feel. How do we feel right now? I'm in love with somebody. Do I have to have someone tell me that this is a relationship? Because I already had it. I'm having it now. It's just the idea of maybe waiting for someone to catch up. But it is what it is. And then Archangel Shamuel says peace.
Oh, no, really? Oh, sweet.
This one here says peace. It says peace. Yes, peace comes from remembering that only love is real. There's only two emotions. Did you know that, right? There's only love and fear. That's it. It has many names, but the core is love and fear. And see, if you fear, you can't love. If you love, you can't fear. Number three. The number three card is... Tell what she's won, Johnny. I'm just kidding. Miracles.
Again, I keep getting Samuel and miracles.
Let's see what you can put on the top of those cards, huh? The card I got on top of remember who you are in peace is music. Music usually represents.
Music is a big thing for me.
That's true too, but your life sings. And it's the idea of remaining within that tense vibration, which means the ideal, no matter what happens, no matter what people say or do or whatever, we're going to keep ourselves in a constant state of love and vibration, which is the ideal of what music is. See, music always vibrates the same, doesn't it? Why? Because nothing can change it. It is what it is. It has no, and it doesn't make any excuses for what it does. It either screams loudly or puts you to sleep, but it doesn't sit there and apologize for doing that, does it?
Mm-mm.
So we should get the same way and go, okay, I said something to you, but it must have been something that had to be said. So please listen to what was said. Don't tell me and don't make excuses. All that tells me is that you're not taking me real. Oh, the number two card is on top of the peace and miracles. It says listening. Are you
listening, huh?
Yeah, we got this big picture. Archangel Michael is saying, are you listening? Not to me, not to everything, but as listening as in a group. But when you listen, well, see, when you go within yourself and you listen to your guidance, aren't we also listening to ourselves?
Yes.
So they're saying, what? And then we look on the top here. The top card on her three-card spread says truth and integrity. You need to focus on these things. Remember who you are. Have truth. Be truthful to yourself and always have integrity for yourself and respect yourself with the situation. So if you have a situation, okay, and you have somebody who's telling you something, who's giving you BS, the nice thing to do is what you would normally do in a situation like that. I don't want to hear it. Okay, it's like I feel like I'm being, it's having respect for yourself is to realize that someone's bullshitting you and say, okay, I know this. You don't have to understand why. You don't need them to explain anything. All you need to do is excuse yourself from the situation in respect of yourself and say, okay, I'm going to be truthful to myself right now and have integrity for myself. So when you want to sit down and have a nice conversation where you tell me exactly how you really feel, instead of telling me all these lists of things that you have to do. I mean, we've all had that situation. We haven't. We asked somebody for $5. Well, I can't give it to you. I got to pay the bill. I got to do it. Instead of going, I don't want to hear your life history. The question is a yes or no answer. Either you can let me borrow $5 or you can't. You're giving me excuses, which tells me you can, but you don't want to. So won't you be truthful?
But I'm on the air.
And be honest with yourself and say,
don't worry about it. It's fine.
I don't want to give you $5. I'm sorry.
That's
Yeah.
Sorry, Donnie. My mom came in.
Well, I'm going to talk to her later. But but you see how it looks? You look at the cards themselves. As we go down the right side, it says truth and integrity, listening and miracles. How can one have truth? How can one be truthful to themselves and have integrity to themselves? Listening. And knowing by making the decision to do what I did, you can still have a miracle come out of that situation. Because you're basically putting out there saying, this is who I am. So once you try being who you are, and this will work a whole lot better. Because everybody sits there and says, well, I got issues, and they're working through this and working through that. How do you know that you are not part of that too as well, to sit there and say what you need to say? What's he going to do? He's going to start saying what he needs to say to himself, which is going to express on the outside through what he says to you. Okay, now we look down the left side. The left side says truth and integrity, which is our top card. It says music and remember who you are. How do you keep that resonance in your life? How do you keep that vibration where your life sings? Truth and integrity. Remember who you are. You don't have to analyze anybody. You don't need to know anything. All you need to know at that moment, if something happens, is to look at yourself and ask yourself, is that last of the barriers that I have to let go of in order to have this relationship? One of those things to think about. Wow, that was pretty powerful.
Yes, it was.
I want to call Hallmark.
Well, anyway. Let me ask you something, because when I had that dream, it was all reflection about me and nobody else, or what could it be both? When I woke up, I had an interpretation, but it included both, not just me. But I just want to verify, when you dream, is it basically all about you, or can it also be about the other person?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Lori. Because I feel
Yay.
Like...
Hey!
Anyway, how it works is if you see yourself in the dream, more likely that you see in the dream represents a part of you that's interacting with whoever else is in the dream. But that's a third-party dream, too, because you're still seeing it unfold in front of you, so you're still seeing it. But if it's one of those things where you feel like you're seeing it unfold out your eyes as you're interacting with it,
yeah,
then it's about you. And that's always a trick question, because it's always about you, because it's your dream. They're giving you the messages, but usually pay attention to what's going on in the dream itself. Don't get like some people. A lot of people get caught up in the fluff, as I call it, which means the colors and stuff. A lot of times you have a dream and they use what they have to work with. Where
yeah.
They'll sit there and put a person in there or something like that. Maybe that would get you really noticing it. Maybe someone you don't like, but all these positive things are happening between the two of you. So it's the idea, like we saw it before. I saw this yesterday. I thought that was the one thing that makes perfect sense is to be wanting to be with somebody because of the indifferences, instead of allowing those indifferences to keep you from going there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to look at someone and go, you know, this person is so unique. But more than likely, if anybody's crossing your path, and whatever you see reflecting back at you has something to do with you, if not about you. Because I've had so much problems with people saying, well, you know, this guy's doing this, this, and this. I said, what's it tell you? He's an asshole. I'm like, no. You're thinking that the answer is out there. You think he's the answer. Which I guess you could say in a sense he is, but more or less it's reflecting back at you, saying you need to go within yourself to ask you that question. You know, he's acting a certain way, so what's it reflect about you? The only way you're ever going to find that answer is go within yourself. So you notice it's kind of funny how dreams are within us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not outside of us. So see, it's like a small little way when you dream. At that moment, you're going within yourself to see something about yourself. So have a nice little chat and say, okay. And you can. I always tell people, sometimes, you know, especially if you know that you're dreaming at that moment, some of us can actually ask the angels at that moment to actually give us some clarity exactly what's going on. But the dream was definitely about two people.
Well, my interpretation, real quick, to tell you, when I first woke up from that dream, I realized I shifted, but it's not, that's the wrong word. As I thought about it, it's more me removing a block. The block of me thinking that it's only a friendship, and it can't be anything else until he says so, when I already feel that it's different. So I'm conflicting with myself. So in the dream, I finally identify the fact that it is more, and I was okay with that. So I'm accepting the fact that he is more than just a friend.
Yeah, you should accept that. Because
yeah, I know. But see, I got hung up in the technicality of all of this stuff. And the other part of that was that he is finally shifting.
Ooh. Yeah.
Is that a true interpretation, though?
That's what I got with the hair. The hair came across very clearly of enlightenment.
Because my hand, I mean, it wasn't just holding hands. At one point, at the end of it, where I'm caressing his cheek, and then as I'm doing that, he's leaning over closer to me just to be closer to me, and I had this feeling of he was the one that was, you know, because he was the one that was always just the opposite of the way things are right now, is he was the one always approaching me, always calling me, always wanting to talk and talk and talk, and he was wanting to be close to me. So to me, when I woke up, I'm like, wow, that was very powerful, because that told me that he's actually shifting. Slowly, maybe?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I haven't heard from him, so I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We don't even think about that. Who cares? You know, he hasn't heard from him. That's your interpretation, that you feel like he owes you a call. When you sit and take the situation off of the whole thing and realize that he shouldn't have, didn't have, that was all your interpretation of what he should do. So it's the ideal. Looking at the situation, what we really learned here is once you get to the point, think about this. Once you accept this for what it is, how do you know that you're not the reflection to help him do the same?
That's very true. But you know what? Tonight, I was okay with it.
Just tonight?
Yeah. I've gotten better. Well, not just tonight. Last night, too. I was okay with it. The last couple nights, I've been okay with it. Hey, I'm growing. I'm growing. I'm getting rid of these barriers. I mean, these blocks or whatever.
Yeah, that too. It's amazing how people, when they grow within, they have a tendency to get a little taller. So because they're not crouching anymore, because they're scared to be themselves.
Well, I'm 5'10". I don't think I need it much taller. So.
Well, it's actually.
I don't crouch down either. I stand tall.
Okay.
I always stand tall.
I read this. I was reading this book called The Soulmate Secret: Manifesting Love. Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction by Ariel Ford. It's a cool book. Amazing new success stories inside. Check it out, man. It's like getting a box of Cheerios and there's a prize inside.
Oh, nice.
I've never actually seen a box of Cheerios with a surprise in it, but Lucky Charms, how's that? Anyway, there's
Hey, Mr. Donnie.
Yes.
I do have one question for you.
Let me say this real quick, because this has to do with you, okay? It's say this. You were born to be loved, cherished, and adored. You were born
to be loved, cherished, and adored. And adored.
Yeah, say that to yourself until you feel that kindness and that warmth, and just feel like you're going to lift
up
the ground.
A warm, fuzzy feeling in your chest?
Actually, I want you to lift up off the ground like you're floating in air.
Like I'm flying out of
body
experience.
Yeah, I was literally looking at this thing called the treasure map. The treasure map for love. It's actually, you know, tell people, go, what's that? Well, what's a treasure map? It's a map to go from point A to point B, where the rich, and then where you feel like once you get there, you'll be enriched, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking, but when I looked at it and I read it, and I was like reading the description of it could be classified as a focus board or... What's the other one? They got focus board, treasure map. Some people call them their spiritual board. What's the other one?
Vision board,
yeah. There's a lot of things out there. So I was looking at this thing going, you focus on these things, and it's very important. The only thing that kind of threw me off on some of this stuff is the idea to create your treasure map, you will need a good-sized piece of poster board or foam board. I never thought about the foam board thing. This is a stack of your favorite magazines that reflects your unique interest and taste. A glue stick and a pair of scissors and several hours to devote to this project. Now, I was sitting here going over this whole thing, and what they really get out there, which is crazy, that some people, what they do when you do this thing, it's a spiritual thing, okay? So you're not letting your ego dictate what's going on here. What you do is, as you're flipping
wrapped up in the moment.
Yeah, when you're flipping through the magazines and stuff, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get pictures and just... all kinds of things in that magazine.
You're no longer thinking at that point.
Right. It's one of those things that reflect.
Yep.
And a lot of people say, "Well, I feel like I should put this on my either your vision board or your focus board or,
mm-hmm.
or your treasure map." And they always say, if you feel it, it's like when you're, you know, you've done this before when you're doing when you're doing readings and stuff, and things jump out at you. That's usually you got to take notice of the whole thing and put it down and say, "Okay, let's do that." There was another technique in here on how to, you know, get rid of the clutter, and she uses the little story of you picture your house, you picture the driveway, and she said it didn't matter what house it is, you just picture the house and it's your house, and you notice that your ex's car is still parked in your driveway. Now see, the car represents what? It doesn't represent the ex. It's a shell of the ex, which a lot of us have a tendency to carry memories of certain things, good or bad. But it's one of those things of putting it out there and focusing, okay? And you're saying to yourself, what my soulmate, what twin flame, want? That's what I want. You just specify, that's what I want. And then to ask, you know, when you're sitting there dealing with this situation, it could be just a simple memory. And some people don't understand that. Sometimes you have to push the bad and the good to the side in favor of finding the new. Because people say, well, I got these good memories of this person, and it was great at that time. Well, you can either use it as in your vision to attract your real soulmate or your twin flame, or you have to push it to the side, because this one little memory could actually block you, because it occupies a space within you.
Yep.
So you get rid of it all. So this thing here was like taking this thing, and you see it out in your car. It's like you look at it. How do you feel? Need to get rid of it. You know, you just need to get rid of it. And then all of a sudden you see this tow truck driving by, and this is fear. Fear that, you know, fear, because you're sitting watching it go and you're scared to death it's going to just keep on going. And all of a sudden it stops, it backs up to the freaking car and tows it away. And she says, use your imagination and picture this thing driving away, going north. If you're on the East Coast, watch it going through Canada and going to the North Pole and then picking up speed until it's flight. And it's flying, and you see this thing going up into the clouds. And then you see the tow truck driver, he jumps out, he parachutes out. He's okay. And then you're sitting there watching, you know, basically, it's more or less you're feeling this thing as it's getting further and further and further away. And then you just happen to feel something in your hand, so you look down, it's a little box with a red button on it. And what you do is you count down. You know, 3, 2, 1. You hit the freaking button, and the freaking car tow truck explode into a million pieces. So it's gone. And you feel it that way till it dissipates. And then you look down at your driveway. Look at your driveway. It's messy. It's got oil and all kind of stuff. And basically, this represents the ideal of how long you've hung on to that memory, which has actually caused this residue on your driveway. So then what you do is you take it one step further and say, I'd like to get this all cleaned up and out of here, because, you know, this is just not suitable. It needs to go. My soulmate, my twin flame's coming, and it's just not acceptable for him to see, or him or her to see this. So next thing you know, you see these people in those suits coming in with garbage bags, picking up the hunks of memories and all kinds of good stuff, and cleaning this driveway up, which is basically cleaning up your subconscious mind and scooting all this stuff out in favor of what you're trying to do. This is a nice, and what you do is, as you're going through this whole thing, you're not thinking about it. It's a feelization, as she calls it. A feelization. You feel the whole thing. And as you're feeling this whole thing, you're going to feel yourself getting lighter, and you feel like you've had a cleansing within yourself. This should also give you a sense that we've already had. That's one thing I love in this book, when she talks about, you know, you're not waiting for you're not thinking about your soulmate coming to you. It's something that you have to get in your mind right now, that it's happening right this moment.
This thing. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
She's laughing at my stuff.
No. Something just popped up on my phone. It's like Anita through Facebook, and it says, Lori, sweetie, don't make hasty decisions. Something good is coming your way. You could make an unexpected trip very soon where you get to meet someone that leaves, and then it always cuts me off on my freaking phone, but yeah.
Oh, second darns. You need to get over
anyway, that. Anyway, kind of, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that, but I was like, okay.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Anyway, what I was going to ask you.
Yes.
The question was, is Valentine's Day. Well, not exactly Valentine's Day. That's in the middle of the week. So it had to be the weekend before or the weekend after.
So what's the freaking question?
Well, I was getting there. Do you see me taking a trip around that time?
I consider it saying, only if you have a sheet of acid. But
wow. Trippy. Trippy.
No,
but either, okay. Well, okay,
like this,
better
saying.
Question I should ask you is that what my focus is putting out there is that for once in my life, I'm going to have the best Valentine's Day ever. So I'm just curious.
So why don't you take it like this? I want to change this into a really positive affirmation.
All right.
No matter what happens, no matter who I'm with or who I'm not with, I'm going to have a fantastic Valentine's Day and love me.
Yes, sir, I hear you, but that's not what I was looking for.
Yes, dear, I already know what you're looking for. That's why I'm throwing the tweet out there and saying, no matter what. Now, does this say that it's not going to happen? Never said that. I'm saying.
But I understand where you're coming from because then you have no expectations, first of all.
Well, first of all, you don't have no expectations. So whatever's, let's put it this way with the situation. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So all you need to do is just enjoy that day.
I'm just curious when I'm going to see him again, that's all.
I'm just saying. When you sit here and look at the situation, it's like we said before, it doesn't matter how, when, or what. You just have
to have
that.
It's going to happen, I just don't know when.
That's right, you just got to have that feeling within yourself that everything's fine. And if it doesn't happen the way you see it, that means God and the angels have got a better plan for you that's going to fall in a place that's actually in your best interest. And when it does happen, it's going to be the best case scenario you've ever had, to the point where you're going to be so freaking overwhelmed. You're going to realize for the first time in your life what real true love is. And yes, it's overwhelming, but you can handle it.
Oh, I know I can handle it. It'd be a little scary, I'm sure, but I'll get through it because I'm willing to...
That's what I was telling.
I'm willing to go through it because I know I have that feeling that it is, and maybe that's why I'm kind of anxious for this to go forward because of that. What I feel this could be, you know, something. I know this is something.
Yeah,
more
I feel it is.
I know this
now,
is something more than
answer,
what I've ever experienced.
Yes, and to answer your question too, is yes.
Okay.
I do see it happening. But, you know,
but
like
I understand. I'm glad. I appreciate you saying what you said, because that's exactly what I need to do, though, is not put too much into it and accept it as it is, because we never know exactly how things are going to play out. And just because we expect it or our anticipations, our expectations, whatever, is in place and it doesn't always come out, then what happens? You're heartbroken and whatever, disappointed and so forth. So no expectations, no disappointments. And I understand that, but it's been so long since I've seen him, and that to me, that would be like the perfect way of us really starting to move forward in my mindset. So I've been putting it out there that February for Valentine's Day would be a better way for us to reconnect.
Yeah, but
so,
the point is, that's the illusion. There is no
reconnect.
Yes,
I know.
There is no you know, center, look at this one where it says, love is the triumph of imagination over intelligence.
12-12. Oh, 12-12.
That's right. Did you hear me? Love is the triumph of imagination over intelligence. See, you're thinking too much. I was sitting there looking at this one thing in here, too, where it was talking about a lot of things on that format of people thinking too much. And when you sit there and start thinking about the situation and really seeing how things work, love is that condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own. Okay? Happiness. So we don't need to know what he's going through. Our to love somebody is to realize that we want that for them too. So just love them. To love and be loved is to feel the sun from both sides. I love this book, and you should get this book. I'll read it again. The Soulmate Secret, Manifesting Love, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction by Ariel Ford. It's a really good book. And I was sitting there going, I was trying to find this one in here. There it is. Find the person who will love you because of your indifferences and not in spite of them. And you have found a lover for life. I was sitting there going, yeah.
Wow.
But, what was that one? There was another one in here, too. It was pretty cool. And everybody out there who's listening in right now, I guarantee you we're going to get to each and every one of you. We just like to go over these things and make sure we get everything out as we do these sessions. Because it's more the idea of focusing on quality, not quantity. Because, you know, the idea of working with me and that kind of stuff is the idea that could be something more important of seeing everything happen. Everything happens for a reason. And if you're directed to do a personal session with me, you should look at those situations on why. Because it's always an illuminating, eye-opening experience. It seems like every time I've got into these situations, it's always the same thing. Everybody is blessed on both sides of the situation. I know I learned so much about the things of myself. It's crazy. You see, self-love is not only necessary and good, it is the prerequisites for loving others. I don't know what that word is, but it's a cool word. So if you say it real fast, it sounds cool, don't it?
Yeah.
See, you yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserves your love and affection. So when you can give that kind of love and affection to yourself, then you're right in the position to give it to everybody else. Because you know what's going to happen as you do that? As you're giving yourself that love and unconditional whatever goes on with the self and all that's inside with you, it's automatically going to come through to you to other people anyway. And you don't have...
I did that today, actually. Yeah. Today, for once in a couple weeks, was a very good day for me.
A very good day?
Yes, I fell on top of the world. I felt like me again. That dream, I'm telling you, dream really helped me shift my thinking. It did. I felt great all day today.
You felt great all day today?
I just woke up with that knowing again.
Mm-hmm.
I lost sight of it. Got too wrapped up in what? Thinking.
Are you ready for big love? Are you ready for big love? Are you ready, 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 ready?
Yes.
Where there is great love, there are always miracles.
A miracle card came up.
Yes, that's right.
I've been getting that a lot, and I'm telling you, you're not the only person that pulled
that
miracle card.
Right,
Donna, I was talking to Donna on Facebook about...
Donna?
Donna, she's the one that does the feng shui in the magazine.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And I was just telling her, I said, I forget, was responding to something she said, whatever. And then she came back and says, you know what? And it's pertaining to Jay, too. But she said she got the miracle card. So let it go so they can continue to do the work.
Become a magnet of love and attract those miracles
like
into your
one.
Life. Yeah.
I like that one. Everything around you. Yeah, because when you do that, then everywhere, no matter what your situation is, no matter where you go, everyone is very loving, daring to you, very respectful, and practically put the red carpet out for you.
Mm-hmm.
The cashier, the attendant at the gas station, whatever, it just kind of follows around you.
Yeah, when you love life, life will love you.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful... Okay.
Well, you know, and then things like... People are like, oh, my God, because you experience certain things, you don't understand how it happens. Like, wow, it doesn't usually happen to a lot of, like, for me, when my job, when they relocated me from Oklahoma to Janesville, Wisconsin, later on, I just thought it was a norm, right? They paid full package, packed me, they came in, packed my house, and moved me and everything. And then later on, while I was working with the company, I had people ask me about it, and I told them the story. Like, how in the world did you get that? How in the world... Did they do that to you? Because they don't do that anymore. They haven't done that in years. I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm just saying it happened, and I'm very blessed for it. Thank you very much.
Well, here's the thing I was talking to someone today was, I said, immature love says, I love you because I need you. Mature love says, I need you because I love you. And I was also looking at this one thing here, too, and I've said this a couple times today, too, where it says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because you look at your situation yourself. The resistance of someone working through his own situation that you can see so clearly. Because, in some sense of the word, you're also working with resistance that you have to let go of, too.
Well, he is a mirror of me, so what can I say?
Well, that's what we say. The more you learn from the mirror, the closer you get. When you don't listen and learn from it, it pushes you further away. I said this today. I was reading this book, and this is what I came up with. And the idea is, when you start focusing on yourself, which I wrote about last month, I wrote this month in the column, where I said you work on you first. Work on your list of yourself. You know, get all those things within yourself. Get that whole thing. Find out who you are. Get to a point where you love yourself. See, when you love yourself, then
you're ready. You're ready to invite love from another in.
Yeah, but see, we have to get deeper than that. We have to realize that it's all spontaneous. When you love yourself, everything else just happens. It's called the law of attraction. Like attracts likes, or love attracts love. So you sit here and look at the situation, okay? When you love yourself unconditionally, you love being with yourself. You're not miserable. You don't like, you know, people don't like this.
That's the whole point, when you find yourself at a point where you hate being alone.
Yeah, but see, when you hate to be alone, it means you're with yourself. I don't like this.
That's what I'm saying. And I was there at one point.
But
you know, I would stay up till late night because I really did not want to go to bed because then that's when the loneliness kicked in, the reminder. But now, I have about like 5 pillows on my bed and I just fall right in the middle of it and I sleep very comfortably now.
I'm just saying, but see, when you love yourself and you love being with yourself, people will love to be with you too.
I understand that.
Well, look at people. Look at couples out there who have this thing about problems with. They're always mad and angry and always fighting with each other. They don't like each other. And you know, you look at the situation. Is it because because that woman doesn't like that guy, or that guy doesn't like that woman? No,
it's the other way around.
Well, it's actually two people who don't like themselves.
That's what I'm saying. It's the other way around. They're just angry or whatever at themselves, and they take it out on the other.
Let's look at this situation, too. Everybody's sitting out here going, what is a soulmate? Well, we'll tell you right now. Like I said, get this book, Soulmate Secret, The Soulmate Secret, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. Ariel Ford is the one who wrote this book. It's a great book. I think I got this thing for like, I don't know, it wasn't very much on Amazon.com.
You can get books really cheap on Amazon.
Oh, no. I'm sitting here going, so it's
okay.
A soulmate. It says a soulmate is someone to whom we feel profoundly connected, as though the communication and communing that takes place between us were not the product of intentional efforts, but rather a divine grace. This kind of relationship is so important to the soul that many have said there is nothing more precious in life. So it's the idea. What's the difference between a twin flame and a soulmate? See, this is profoundly saying, you know, that having a connection, communication between two. You know, when you get a little deeper with soulmate, twin flames is like on the same format, but more on a level of actually being created from the same essence, the energy. We were talking about Valentine's Day. And,
yeah.
We were sitting there looking at the situation. What does the heart mean on a Valentine's card? And what it means is it's like looking at the heart itself. When we make a heart, don't we always start at the top where the heart is? You know,
yep.
I call it the top of the apple, and then you go outwards, okay? And then you go back to the top again. You go outwards. So it's like so. This is looking at the part we start first, where the stem would go in an apple, and you look at that and say, okay, this is where the twin flames were created, one energy, and then. It's like picturing God created an energy that was so bright and so powerful, it couldn't be contained in one body. So therefore, he made a man and a woman, and he puts this energy, he splits this energy up and puts it in the man and a woman. The heart means they go out into the universe. They go out, and the loops represent going out into the universe and coming back, and they're always drawn to each other. Where we get to the bottom of the heart, that's where you always wind up. I love you from the bottom of my heart. So, you know, when you sit and look at things like that, and
nice.
Yeah, so you look at those things, and you're like, okay, we got it going. Yeah, so with that kind of stuff going on out there, why are people not with people? it's because they probably have some resistance within themselves that they don't think they're deserving in some sense.
It's the fear that ends up pushing them away. Their own fear of being less deserving or whatever. Because
push them away.
Well, they push them away. They end up pushing themselves away because they're putting blocks up.
Yeah, your true self.
Yeah, and a twin flame is basically it's yourself, like you're looking in a mirror, but just a different.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So I'm just what I'm saying. You know, it's like people sitting going, you know,
I'm just agreeing with you because I'm experiencing that.
You know, like people say, I pushed this person away, or this person ran away from me.
Yes, I've said that before.
But see, when people say things like that, what they're saying is they're not being honest with themselves. You know, it's like a person who's scared to speak their mind and be who they are, to be that strength, that strong person they are, because they're scared someone's going to run away. They're just scared of being themselves.
Yep.
So the person ran away, which represents to them that they're actually being mean, as they call it. I'm being too mean because I'm pushing this guy away. When you're not pushing nobody away, people have legs. They're pulling away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not
only
like,
because they don't want to hear the truth.
Well, if you have a strong person speaking their mind and saying, this is how I feel, and this one, when the person's like scared and runs away, what that tells you right there, what you're reflecting back at him, and he can be a strong person if he accepts what's actually being presented to him. But he's not, so he's showing his true colors as feeding into the fear, which weakens him. So he feels, it's almost like people have this thing in themselves where they think that they have to be those weak people to have what they want. Yeah, you know, it's like, to have the love of your life, I have to be less than I am, which is the biggest contradiction I've ever heard in my life. So, you want to stick around so we can take some calls?
Well, can I call back in?
Why?
I got to run next door real quick.
Oh, really? Belle gets your time, huh? I see.
Well, I promised her some of those enchiladas that I made. And it's already 12:30. I was going to go over there, but I told you I'd call in, so I put her on hold. So you got my time first. Thank you very much.
Oh, shit.
I'm teasing.
You take it personal?
I'm teasing. Don't take me so serious. Come on. You know me. I'm just...
Yep. I was just going to say, call in. Yeah, call back. Call back in.
Yeah, when I get back, I'll call in.
Alrighty.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling and sharing that dream with us. We'll appreciate it, and we'll talk to you when you get back, okay?
All right, well, definitely will do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Again, we were sitting here talking about before about private readings. I was talking about the seven-card angel card pyramid spreads, which actually take about 40 minutes. And right now, you can get one of those sessions for only $33.33, which takes about 40 to 60 minutes. I always tell everybody you should at least get a 60-second session, which is only $33. But if you'd like to get a combination, because I actually also have my deck of cards, is Dorian Virtue's Healing with the Angels and the Archangel cards. I put them together for one deck. That's a big deck. And we do seven-card pyramid spreads. I call them foundation pyramid spreads. We also do five cards, and we do three cards. I also have another deck by Dorian Virtue, which is her Archangel Raphael deck, and the Archangel Michael deck, which I put that together as one deck. And we do readings with those, but we do pyramid spreads too as well. So jump in there. Take advantage of the sessions, because right now it's $33.33 for a 60-minute session. For a 40-minute session, it's only $22.22. And for a 20-minute session, it's only $11.11. You can also take advantage of the one-card angel reading, which is about 15 minutes, which is only $9.99. And if you are a person who wants to take advantage of maybe a multiple sessions, like Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael card, pyramid spreads, and healing with the angels and the Archangel deck, and get two separate readings, or maybe you want to call me on Skype and get a palm reading. If I can see the palm, I can read your palm too, and get a combination of those things. We also have 90 minute to 2 hour sessions, which are only going for $77.77, which we usually use those for life coaching and relationship counseling sessions. But you can use those for multiple things too, to get some really depth and to really understand the answers and the messages that are coming through. Let me take a deep breath on that one. Whew. All right. And if you want to take advantage of those sessions, give us a call at 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype. If you want to do a face-to-face session, that's great. I have no problem with that. Love to sit down and be almost like working in my shop to see people face-to-face and sit down and do readings and that kind of thing. That number is 740-601-9835. Or if you want to contact me through my website, you can do that too as well, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And if you want to give a call in here right now and get some answers, we're doing the 3-card pyramid spreads too. And if you want to do past lives, relationship readings, whatever it is, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. Also, get this book. It's a great book. The Soulmate Secret, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, Ariel Ford. It's a really cool book. It's got some great affirmations in it, great exercises, just lovely. So check that out too. Also, we got Angel Numbers 101, which actually I was looking up. The last lady was in here. Her name was Lori. I've been seeing a lot of things with 222, with the 22 at the end of them. And I thought that was kind of incredible because some of the messages that were coming through, and I was actually looking up 910. Right here it is. The pages are flipping too much. Get this book by Dorian Virtue called Angel Numbers 101. It's a cool book. It's got all the numbers from 0, I think it's from 0 all the way up to 999. It even tells you how to read multiple, like 6 and 5 numbers. So it's really cool. 910 means continue with your positive affirmations and prayers regarding your purpose in life because they're working. Thought that was pretty intense itself. Then we go down to 9/11. It's very important that you keep a positive mindset concerning your spiritually based career ideals. Positive thoughts are your most important asset right now. So jump in there and do that whole thing too. Also, if you want to take advantage of the ideal, I have these meditation's great. Meditation at least 15 minutes in the morning is great and fantastic. So check it out. It leads to so many other things of the discoveries within yourself you would not believe. And I started joining with these CDs. They're really cool. They're called Hemi Sync CDs. That's H-E-M-I hyphen Sync, S-Y-N-C. And if you want to check out those CDs, you can actually go to their website, which is a really cool website because you can buy the CDs. They actually have specials going all the time. If you buy 4 CDs at one time, the 4th one's free. And that really makes it a lot easier if you've seen the CDs themselves. Plus, they also have downloads. I think they're MP3 downloads. And they go between $11 and $15 an hour. I mean, $11 or $15 per CD, per session, that kind of thing. And they're really cool things because they're like meditations that last between 20, sometimes 40 and 50 minutes. So they're well worth it. So give it a shot. Go to www.hemi-sync.com. And if you're also a person who's into subliminal CDs, go to a company called BrainSync. They also have MP3 downloads too as well. And they are a little bit different. There's some subliminal CDs, but the technology is a whole lot different. So check it out. I've actually got some of those CDs too, and they work very well. But it's one of those things a lot of people say, well, it didn't work. You got to give those things a chance, but you also have to do it like with the meditation. You have to open yourself up to change, to know that there are certain things within yourself you have to let go of. And anybody who has any kind of negative thought or negative opinion about anything definitely needs some work on the subconscious. So give that one too. Check that out. That's www.brainsync.com. Let's go on to our next caller. Let's see what we got going on. Let's go to area code 718. Hello, how are you? What's going
good.
On? Welcome.
How are you?
You're on the air. You're on the air, and what was I going to say? Oh, what's your name?
Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing good, Lisa.
Good. Good stuff.
thank you.
Question about, I spoke with a colleague of mine / friend who's a photographer. And I spoke spoke with him in December about doing a photo shoot, and I'm not so sure if I want to do that anymore. What do you see? I mean, do you think it's a good idea that I would do it, or I could just choose a different photographer later on? Like, what do you pick up about that for me?
I get the impression you should listen to yourself and focus on getting a photographer later.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. I mean, how you feel at that moment. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's really, really resonating with you as much as it did before. So, you know, things change. I also was looking up your area code, too, 718. It says your visualizations and affirmations are bringing abundance of money your way. So I think that when you look at that situation, I think it's another lesson to start listening. And I'm not saying you don't. I think it's just one of those things to listen to your intuition intensely.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. It's like looking at the situation. Because like I was saying before, I was looking at some things in my book, and I was sitting there going, I kept on seeing numbers all the time. And they have a tendency to communicate me in those ways. And I know that. And if I don't pay attention, I'm only hurting myself. So they started pointing out not just the idea of looking at things with 2-2, with the number 2-2 at the end of them, but, you know, just the idea of paying attention. I was looking up 3, and the one I keep seeing all the time is 3-2-2. And this says, this is a strong message from the Ascended Masters urging you to keep the faith and thus experience faith's magical magnetic power, which draws to you every good thing you deserve and you desire. So, you know, when you start thinking that whole thing, the easiest way to look at those situations is what do you desire at this moment? And don't be scared to sit and look at the situation and go, okay, this doesn't sit with me right. Sometimes we have a tendency to feed the fears, to thinking that we have to go with the first decision we had, you know, months ago, when something's telling us something has changed. It could be
I really do feel like something has changed. And I met another photographer. That I'm not working with him to take pictures. I mean, working with him on some marketing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I can always ask him, but even so, I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like even though that person's not going to take pictures of me, the energy of working with them feels better.
Mm-hmm.
So if the energy is different with the other person, I just...
Mm-hmm. Not just you, I'm sorry.
No, I was just trying to say that, like, I met another photographer, but I'm working with that person on something separate, not a photo shoot. And their energy resonates with me better, even though I'm not going to do a photo shoot with them. At least I don't think I am.
Trust that everything is working out exactly as it's supposed to.
Exactly. And so it's just, like, my instincts. And I have a question about, so I just contacted this web designer that I was referred to. His name is Chris. What do you pick up about that situation and getting that done?
Okay. Do me a favor and say it again. I'll try to...
Oh, no problem. I just left a message for someone that that is supposed to do my website for me. That's what I've been working on. That's a big deal of them doing my whole website for me, creating the logo and all this different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see coming out of that with this particular person?
It comes to me as the story is going to play out with a positive ending.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get. Someone's like, there's some doubts, and it seems like the doubts are just something needs to be let go of at the situation, and it's like a project or something, right?
Yeah, it's a whole new website for me, and you know, it's just I called them today, and, you know, obviously I'm not going to hear back on a Friday. So mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted to know more or less when you pick up, I'd even speak to the person and meet with them.
I keep getting mid next week.
Okay.
There was another one, too. 1-2-2, stay filled with faith because heaven is working behind the scenes to help your manifestations appear. The more positive your thoughts and feelings, the faster and better this manifestation occurs. So I definitely get the impression with all these things I keep seeing around me, I get the impression it's like, let go of it. Just let go of everything and realize that the process of, like it says here, heaven is working behind the scenes. You know, things always happen. It's like looking at situations of people we meet and things work out so good. Like, if we could keep our mindset on like how we deal with our family and friends, We don't sit there and question when our friends don't call. We don't question when family don't call. Unless we get a bad feeling, which hardly is one of those things, you know, you sit there and go, okay, you know, dad's going to do what he's going to do or whatever. If we could do that same kind of mindset with our relationships or anything that we worry about and start realizing we don't need to, that worry is actually causing more of us to doubt ourselves than anything else. Can you do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that definitely has to do with letting go, because I was trying to do this on my own all year, and it just really has not worked. It just has not worked out for me.
I'm just saying, when we sit there and look at the situation, I'll let those go, where it just basically says, have faith that you're taking the right steps toward the manifestation of your desires, what you feel like you should really do in the situation. Because realistically, you are. That's the ideal. Your intuition is really, it's when we second guess ourselves that we realize that we were right.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we were wrong. See, we always go that route too. I was wrong. No, you wasn't. You were right. You just second guessed yourself, so therefore learn not to do that. Learn to step back and say, okay, I feel really positive. And, you know, seriously, with the situation, when you feel these things, especially with working with people, and you feel very positive with those people, and you know exactly what to do,
mm-hmm.
and you feel very positive about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you start doubting people, think about this. We reflect and we look at yourself at the time that you meet up with the people that you don't feel comfortable with. Look at yourself and look at what's going on within yourself. If you don't trust yourself, or there's something about that whole thing, it just makes you feel uneasy to work with somebody else who feels the same way, you know you wouldn't work with yourself if you didn't feel comfortable about doing something, so you wouldn't do it. It's as simple as that, working with other people when you don't feel comfortable with them. More like they don't feel comfortable with themselves or confident what they're doing. So
yeah,
we want to work with... Yeah.
No, I'm just going to ask, like... No, I understand. I completely understand. I guess...
You sure?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
No, I really do understand. I really do. It's just, you know, when you tell someone yes and you're like, oh, I don't want to be that person that just says no now. But, you know, I can't help it. I'm not going to put myself in a predicament to be taking pictures when I'm not ready or comfortable, whatever the case may be. I mean, do you pick up that I'm going to be doing a photo shoot with the person I currently work with now, or he'll refer me out to someone?
Well, it's like, if you look at the future on this whole thing, it could be, I mean, well, I gave up the situation of still working with this person, but also still referring you out to somebody else where you'd be working with multiple people.
Okay.
Because, see, the one thing I got the most, too, is a lot of people do this. They feel obligated because they've, you know, done some things with people and that kind of stuff. When we get caught up in this responsibility that we don't, you know, so one of those things, realizing we're not responsible for no one. If you don't feel comfortable working with somebody at that moment, you just wish they would get the reflection back to themselves. They realize that at that moment, they wasn't really ready for it either. And that's all it was. Just two realizations on both sides, realizing that there's a different approach to the situation for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a lot of things up in the air right now. I'm just trying to get a lot of things done. So it's just a matter of me, I guess, trusting all of that. Like, trusting my intuition and, you know, but it's just, like, there's so many things I have to do right now, so it's just in my mind, like, oh, boy, it's just trying to get, like, all... Oh, and I have a question about someone I used to see, but I'm not seeing them anymore. Just, like, a little odd miscommunication that was bothering me a week or two ago. They keep calling me, and I keep picking up the phone, and they keep saying, like, I missed the call. I call back, and they say they didn't call me. And it's just been this weird game of that. And I'm just like, you know, to the point where I answer the phone saying, hi, or I call them saying, I'm calling you back because I saw your phone accidentally called me, maybe, I'm not sure. Like, I literally have to say that, or else there's a whole big fight.
Right.
So I just kind of, they kept calling and calling, and I'm just like, I'm not picking up. Like, if you want to talk to me, leave me a voicemail, because I don't want to get into this altercation. What do you really see as the truth behind all that going on? Like, is it someone pretending to call? I mean, someone actually calling and pretending they didn't? Like, the last couple, like, what's going on there?
You definitely get a game there. It's like a person wants to, how do we put that? A person wants to reach out. Somebody wants to do something, but they keep hesitating. So therefore, when you do call back, they don't want to be embarrassed. So they
why
say,
would
no.
they be embarrassed?
It's like this, it's interpretation. It's like sometimes you just don't understand people when they do things when it could be just simply in that situation of feeling vulnerable. So they want to control the situation, so they lie. It's like I'm serious. So I've seen this with guys. Guys will sit there and the girl will say, "Where you been?" I went to McDonald's, and when he actually went to Wendy's, why did he do that for? It's a stupid lie, but it's actually a control. It's a controlled issue of saying, "Okay, I know where I was, and I'll tell you when I feel like I feel like I'll tell you when I want to," and he feels at that moment he has control. We can trace it back to all kinds of different things. I'm just saying on the surface, that's what it's all about. People don't want to admit to their own vulnerabilities. Not realizing throughout your whole entire life, the best friendships you've ever had are the ones that you were most vulnerable. You were just didn't care because you trusted them. Let's see. Whew. Yes. So I'm just saying, when you look at the situation too, and I've made a vow that people who call unknown or restricted or any of those things, I just don't return those calls anymore. And the first time I get one number that calls me that did come up as a number and somebody says that they didn't talk to me, I just sit here and say, well, that's true. You'll never talk to me again. I mean, I always tell people the best thing to do with those situations, because phones are really good at that. They pick up energy quick, and it's the idea of paying attention to what you're picking up when you know for a fact someone's lying. You don't have to respond. You don't have to do anything. It's just a realization of what you don't have to do.
Yeah, it's just very, it's so funny because I was thinking the same thing that you said. I said, I think he doesn't want to admit that he really feels the need to talk to me, so he wants to keep playing this game. And, you know, the funny thing is he's the oldest person I've ever dated and the most immature. I cannot believe the immaturity.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, like I've never met a person that would call me and I missed a call. And then would act like they didn't call me. Like, and that's ridiculous. Like, it's so strange. I don't know. What are you going to do? What do you mean? Like, I just like to get to the bottom of things because I'm just like, I know there's something going on here because this can't happen all the time. You know, this is ridiculous.
Right.
It doesn't need to be happening all the time. I don't know.
Well, that's another look at the idea of the situation. It just, I mean, it's just a waste of energy when people do kind of things like that, when they should just go directly and do it. I mean, I say that too because one thing is it's the idea of going through it myself when you go through certain things and looking back on those events and realizing that playing those kind of games just kept it not going anywhere. Nothing was really obtained or accomplished by doing it except for one thing. Learning not to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And the last time the person called, I just decided not to take the call. I was like, what for? Like, the last two times, they called two more times.
Uh-huh.
In the same hour. That was on purpose.
What the hell? Uh-huh. Sorry.
Yeah, that's just...
It's driving... like you said before, I know what you mean. It can drive you crazy when people do certain things or... Even when people are actually checking you out, you know they are.
Yeah, that's really sad, though. I mean, what I realize in the end is that, you know, this is just someone that's going to be a headache. I already know I don't want to be with them. And obviously now that they're behaving this way shows that we can't even maintain a friendship. Because to me, if you want to be friends with somebody, you don't do things like that. But that's what we agreed upon. Oh, you know, he's like, I hope that we can be friends. I'm like, yeah, sure, like. I don't expect to see the person, but if they wanted to speak to me every now and then, if we have a decent conversation, that's fine. But if the person's interested in being friends with you, why would they do that? That's so funny, you know, like weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not going to date anymore, so why would you do that if you want to be friends?
I don't know. I had someone who sat and told me they want to be friends, and then I said, well, I can't be friends right now because it was like right after a breakup, and I'm just like being honest. And say, hey, you know, I don't want to be friends right now because I know for a fact that what's going on, it's like I don't understand why this person was particularly pulling away and that kind of stuff, but I knew for a fact that how my feelings was, the idea of being friends at that time, the reason I said we couldn't be friends is because I knew it was never meant to be just friends. It was always supposed to be meant to be more.
Yeah.
And the person wasn't accepting that. So I knew if I went there, I would always want to go there. Well, she said that she didn't want to go there. It was more of a thing I tell people all the time. You're not following your heart. And when you don't follow your heart, you're being selfish. I'm not really accepting what's actually happening. You're
mm-hmm.
resisting.
No, it's completely. I understand that. But for
but
me,
then when you go,
yeah.
And, yeah, but like with your situation, like I'm just saying with what I had, which is like, and then you do come back and you will be, and you're saying, okay, I've gotten through it. Let's be friends. And this person just basically cut me off on everything. And I was just like, okay, hold up. You said when I was ready to be friends, you were going to be there for me because you were my friend. And now you've cut everything off. And then I think this particular person got a little angry too when I sat there and said, the reason you're cutting me off because you just realized what I realized before when I couldn't be just friends with you before. Now you can't just be friends with me either because you know what it's all about. But instead of actually being, I don't know, how would you put that? What is that? You know,
we're
know
trying
the
to be platonic. I mean,
yeah, but why be platonic when you know for a fact that you can't because of how you feel? Why would you deny yourself of those feelings? And why would you deny yourself of that interaction of what you've been looking for? As in most
some
of us,
some people aren't ready
about
for the real thing. Some people are not ready for the real thing.
But is it really that, or is it more on the level?
Yeah,
like,
it, well,
just trust
two
this.
Things. There's people who aren't ready for the real thing, and there are people that don't think for themselves.
I think it's more on the other latter part, not thinking for themselves, because I feel like this. Everything happens for a reason. So if it's happening right now, it means it's meant to happen and you're supposed to face it. Just as simple as that. And we always, like I said before, who makes things complicated? We do. When it's so simple, if you just go with the flow, what happens? You just found the love of your life. You just found your soulmate, your twin flame, which you've been looking for, which is what you said when you came into the relationship in the first place. Is what I'm looking for. I think you're him. And then you sit there and turn around and say, nope. I love this one statement I heard. I said, are you listening to your angels and guides? And she said, yes, I am. And I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I'm sitting there going, does she realize that's a contradiction?
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to your angels and guides, but you're still doing what you want to do, that means the ego is still in charge. And
yeah.
Like you said before, it's probably people around this particular person saying,
yeah.
You know something? This is what we feel you should do. And this person's so caught up in the fear of things, of maybe not having friends and family and that kind of stuff, or just being alone. Not just realizing the ideal of being caught up in that just that one thing.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
scared
you know, the,
to death to be
yeah,
alone.
The other thing is, too, is like, you want someone that's all in. You don't want someone you have to push in. I mean, if I learned anything about relationships, if a person's not ready, you don't force them. And if they're not ready for you, then you don't need to be around that. Because even if you really want to be with them, you don't want someone that's halfway in and you're giving your all.
Well, as we had the same situation, too. We were talking about in love and out of love. And this particular person said, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I said, and I always, this is one of the things I encourage people to do is speak your mind. Because if it has a voice, it needs to be said. I don't care how the other person reacts or doesn't react. It's something that needs to be said because you're being prompted to do it. Angels work through people. They work through us. They work through all kinds of avenues to get a point across to a person to see the reality, okay? And I was seeing this one particular one, and this person came to me, and I do this all the time anyway. I speak my mind and tell people if I feel like it's a bluff or bullshit, I'm sorry, I say that. I tell them. I don't care if you run away. That just tells me that you're not strong enough to be with me because I'm a strong person, and I am who I am. So therefore, you're not confident within yourself. So you need to go find yourself anyway. But in this particular one, a person said to me, I'm not in love with you. I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I said, bullshit. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, it's bullshit. There's no such thing. I said, first of all, don't come to the table talking to a psychic and a relationship counselor with that kind of bullshit, okay? Know what you're talking about before you do that. I know you're in fear. I know what's going on. But see, my thing is that I feel like the more we explain things to people when they go through these things because of people who are talking to them who have no idea what they're talking about, you have to have other information coming in there to help them understand. And I told her that. And I said, I'll be very honest with you. When people say they're in love, they don't say they're in love, do they? They just say, I love you and I'm committed. They're in the relationship. Like you said, they're all the way in. A person who says they love you but they're not in love with you is a person who does love you just as much as they did before. They're just questioning if they want to be in it or not. They're on the outside looking in. And when I told her that, I thought it was the coolest thing to hear her say, thank you. See, people, we know the truth when we hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we might not accept it at the moment, and we might accept it at the moment, but I think we all deserve the chance to do that, so therefore say it. And I said it to her, and she just came back and said, you know something? Thank you for always explaining things to me to help me maintain balance within my life. Because it's almost like a realization at that moment that somebody in her life was making her feel unbalanced, was throwing her off. And I was trying to help her understand, to stand on her own 2 feet and say, if you feel it, then you go after it and you do what you got to do. And I think we need those kind of people in our lives to be true friends, not people who are going to step in there and go, you know something? They don't like it. So they're going to sit there and tell you you shouldn't do it. When it's actually their own insecurities that's playing through another person that they see. Because what I mean by that is the person walks at you and says, if I was you, see, just by making that statement, I think it's disrespectful. Because you didn't ask for anything. You're not asking for advice. You didn't solicit any advice. This person just come up there and say, this is what I think you should do for what I've seen. I think a friend should be respectful enough to sit there and say, if I ask you for advice, okay, give it to me. But if I don't, I think you should stay on the outside for a minute, unless it really gets to a point where you can actually see someone's going to get hurt. All I'm saying is I've seen situations like that where a person just comes in and said, you know, from their own perceptions, I've been through this before, and I can see what's happening here. When it's their own insecurities that's playing out there, so it's not true advice. You got to look at people where they're coming from, too, sometimes. I mean, truly look at where they're coming from. Just because I'm not in a relationship right now, maybe that's a good thing. Because I'm sitting here trying to help people be in good relationships. I'm not trying to point out the fears and scare you to death so you won't step into it. I think a true friend of me who's really looking out for my best interest is the person who looks at me and says, I had a friend of mine did that too when I met this girl. And she told me flat out she didn't like this girl. But she was respectful and she said, just because I don't like her and there's something about the situation that doesn't set with me too well, she still respected my decision to go forward with it. She didn't get mad at me or not be my friend no more. Or, you know, we've seen those things too. Where she sits and goes, it doesn't, you know, I don't feel good about the whole thing. But when it worked out, she wasn't the first one to come in and still try to tear it apart. She just let it go and respected that space. And I thought that was the best thing in the world I've ever seen someone do. Don't like it, but I'm not going to sit there and keep you from doing it. And then if it does have a tendency to fall apart, be there, which she was, to sit here and talk to you. But there was no I told you so. It was just to listen. That's all you really need. Some friends have to understand that. Sometimes people don't want you to solve their problems. They just want someone to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. And even to this day, when I sit here and talk about this certain particular woman, as in what I see, I have a lot of people who say certain things and might say things against it because of what they see. But see, I have to listen to myself in these situations, too, is what is my intuition? What are my guides saying at this moment? When I hear somebody say something to me, if it doesn't resonate with me in a positive way, I listen to that because intuition is on a intuition to me is God talking to you. And if you feel like you should keep proceeding to go forward on something, like with your situation, of saying, you know, this is what I feel. I think I should do this. Then what, you know, listen, look at yourself before, in the past, to confirm it, that when you did listen to yourself, everything got better. And you know that for a fact. So you know you're going in the right direction, so you just keep going. And look at the situation and say, okay, I know miracles exist. I know miracles are going to happen. So therefore, I keep going forward. And what I mean by that is, some people say, well, Matt, what happens if you don't wind up with her? I said, everything is going to be fine. Everything's going to work out. A miracle is going to happen. That's all we need to know. We don't have to sit there and feed into it, because the idea of feeding into anything in a negative way delays what is supposed to happen. And I don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, believe me, I know you focus the right things come into your life. And like, you know, I always say, if you know you love somebody and you want to be with them, don't press the issue. Just kind of go on with your life. And when you let go of that expectation, whatever's supposed to fall in place will. Because people will never make a love decision if someone's pressuring them. At least not
right.
The decision. It's just never going to happen. I mean,
mm-hmm.
As a woman, somebody pressuring you when you're saying one thing, the woman needs to be left alone to reflect you know, and then she'll figure things out, because she probably has a lot of growing to do also. She probably has a lot of growing to do, and that's going to be the reason what's holding her back. She has to be away from something that you know, someone that loves her, for her to understand that. And in the meantime, focusing on everything you're doing for your own life and building whatever stability and success you're trying to build.
Yeah,
it'll all come together, like, in divine timing. I mean, I really believe that.
Uh-huh. No, I was just understanding the situation when I was looking at going, you know, all this stuff's going on, or was not going on, or whatever. The one thing I know for a fact in the situation is we're not crossing paths at this moment, so it's none of my business. My only business is to look at the situation and certain things like that, and when the reflection hits me and comes at me, if I'm preoccupied with something else, I'm not going to see the full extent of the whole thing. I'm going to miss the message or the thing like that. I need to center focus, because that's what I tell everybody. I said, it's like, seriously, look at the fish. He swims around the water. But does he ask his friends, what is that clear stuff, man? I have to know what that clear stuff is, or I just can't live.
Mm-hmm.
No, fish just keep going on. They just live. And that's what I'm saying. You see, like we were saying the other day, they got a bird nest, they got little birdies in it, right? And people think this might sound insensitive, but it's not. It's just, that's how, you know, when you start looking at life and realize everything happens for a reason. And when things do happen, a lot of people want to sit there and go, okay, was it something I did? When it could have been just something that, yeah, maybe it was something you did, but it was predained to happen that way anyway. So you just kind of like go with it. It's like with this example, you got the bird and got the family in the bird nest, and the bird falls out. A little baby bird falls out, hits the ground, and dies. What happens at that moment? Does the world stop? Do the birds sit there and go, oh? Do they sit there and cry and freak out about the whole thing? They just look at it for what it is. It happened. Nobody pushed the little sucker out. Nothing happened. It just, when you start realizing that, like with your kids and children and situations, you're getting fired and that kind of stuff, when we start looking at these situations for what they are, it's just something coming to an end in favor of something else that's going to happen. When you look at the situation, like with the birds, it might have been a situation, and we've seen this before, you've probably seen this too before, where you're in a situation where something tells you not to spend some money, and then you find out later on, 2 weeks down the road, thank goodness you didn't spend that money, because now you need it. And it's just all those things of paying attention to those things and keeping in with the flow of things, and start paying attention to all those things happen all the time, that these intuitional things will be really more spontaneous when you make decisions accordingly. Like I was telling the lady before too, when you start, I said, take a leap of faith. And then you're going to find out after about 2 or 3 leaps of faith, you're going to realize one thing. And she goes, what's that? It wasn't a leap of faith. It was the right way to go. It was the direction you were supposed to go into the first place. The challenge here was to get past yourself, to get yourself out of the way. You know, when we start looking at people and the lack of anything that we see around us, more than likely what's happening here is you got to go within yourself, and you start realizing that these lack of things you see on the outside are these lack of things that you feel within yourself. Maybe it's just the idea of reconnect. I don't know. But it seems like every time you do that, everything seems to get... Just the idea of looking within yourself, things seem to get better, you know?
No, I completely agree. I mean, I really, really do agree.
I was trying to... Sorry, sweetie. I was. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just trying to say, I was trying to find this one affirmation in there where it was talking about the realization of twin flames or soulmates. It's just, it's not... I would put it, I'm trying to remember this because I was actually trying to find it in the book. For some reason, I can't find it. I guess it's one of those things. Well, we'll find it. It was just saying, basically, twin flames or soulmates don't finally meet. They finally realize they were always one. So when you sit here and look at things like that, it helps you understand to stop looking, to stop searching, and allow it to happen.
Exactly. I completely agree with that.
So I was sitting here saying to myself with the situation I've got in the hands, I mean, I can honestly say there's some days I sit here and do the same thing. I look at the situation and say, am I dwelling too much on this? I did go looking through my journal and realize I had written a lot of things about her in that journal.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of going, I just finished up a journal, I'm starting another one, and I just happened to go back and look at the other one. I was reading it. I kept on reading it. Kept on reading it. And for some reason, I went through the whole freaking thing. Now, I feel like when you do things like that, and you feel prompted to do so, I think it's like you're having a little doubt within yourself, and your angels led you back to your journal. And as you're reading your journal, page after page, you're reestablishing that confidence you had before.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself back on track.
Because
I was reading this, like I said, this book, Soulmate Secret, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction, Ariel Ford. She has a daily prayer for manifesting your soulmate. It says, whoever you feel like you want to focus on, it says God or Goddess. I like to say God and all that is. In this moment, I am grateful for the healing of my heart, of everything that would stop me from attracting my soulmate. In this moment, I remember my perfect right partner is magnetizing to me, and my only job is to rest in perfect awareness that my soulmate's heart is already joined with mine as I savor the waiting, and so it is. I feel like you could use that prayer for about anything you want. To look at the situation, not just the idea of opening yourself up and manifesting a soulmate. It could be a career or whatever. Because basically what it's saying is, in the process of focusing on the lack of, you're not really focusing on living your life. You know, it's like look at the situation and say, there is no lack. There is no empty spaces within you. There really isn't. It's an illusion. And once you start realizing that by searching out there for your soulmate, you're always going to come up and you're always going to fail. Because it's not out there. It's within you. It's when you connect with your soul and your mate and you love yourself unconditionally and you open yourself up to love and being vulnerable again, that's when you are opening the door for that soulmate to come walk in, or twin flame, whichever one you call it, whichever. But it's just allowing. You allow it to happen and you realize when you get together, because people say this all the time. When I met this person, I felt like I knew this person. Why did I feel that way? Well, why are you asking the question? Why don't you sit there and go within yourself and ask yourself what you felt at that moment? The answer is within you. It's not within me.
Yeah, I actually feel that way about someone that I'm working with, but I don't feel that I'm going to be dating them. I just really feel like he said, I feel like you're my twin as a woman. And I started laughing because I feel the same way, but I don't feel like I'm going to date him. I just feel like I do feel like he's a soulmate, but I don't feel like he's a romantic soulmate, if that makes sense.
I love this one, man. No, seriously, look at the situation, sweetie. Soulmates come in many ways.
Exactly.
I've seen mothers and daughters and fathers and sons and, you know, and tigers and bears, oh my. But when you look at the situation, it's very important to help people understand there's also very intense, deep friendships, too.
Yes, exactly. That's how I feel about this person that I'm working with. I really feel like they're going to be in my life forever. Like, they're going to be at my wedding and meet my kids when I have, I really feel that way.
The person you call up when you had a bad date, you know, that kind of thing, yeah.
Well, actually, I try not to mix that, then just spread the bad energy.
Well, I'm just saying, someone you come
exactly. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I'm practicing not doing that. That's
a
practice.
I think you can gossip and still describe people when they wear bad clothes. That's just me.
And I also met someone now that I'm kind of. He's turning into a friend. I kind of wanted to know, like, I thought that was something romantic at first, but then I just was like, this is not. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go with this, but something tells me we're never going to date. Because I don't think, you know, you told me once before, like, he's just he's not what you're looking for. And, you know, but I just felt like, what was going on there in the beginning? That's what I was curious to see. Not now, because I know
what's
happening.
I think it's just one of those curiosities, it's a curiosity of connections and realizing it's been described too, and I've seen people regress back into past lives and stuff and realize that you could probably, what was that one I saw? There was a documented case where a lady was under hypnosis and realized she had a past life, but then she also realized that half the town they had been together, all of them had been together in the same kind of town setting before.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Mayberry, but I'm just saying. when you sit there and saw the situation, it was kind of amazing, but it's also been proven that most people that you do connect with around you, more likely you're all in the same social setting or society or town or village or whatever it was. I was going to read this real quick too. I was reading this one in here, and I can't, some of these guys' name I can't pronounce, but I do like the idea what they say, because for some reason they can speak English, but they didn't put their name in English. Anyway, this one says, the day will come when, after harnessing space, the winds, the tides, and gravitation, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And on that day, for the second time in history of the world, we shall have discovered fire. And I was just like, intense. But, you know, when you sort of look at the situation, I think you could have that kind of intensity in friendships, family, you know, friends, associations, neighborhoods, and that kind of stuff. And that would actually, I was talking about this column right in this magazine, which I got to get that together too and submit that in there. But for this month, we were talking about making a list for yourself. Make a list for yourself. So therefore, when you know yourself really well and you love yourself unconditionally, I think you're going to start loving life again, and life will start loving you. And when you can actually be with yourself and love being with yourself, that's when you find out that people love being with you too. And then that's another way of opening all the doors and windows.
That actually recently happened. That happened right before the year started.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a whole bunch of people that actually do love being with me. And I just got really comfortable being by myself. Like, and it really hit them. I'm really serious. And when you said make a list, I like literally a light bulb went off in my head.
Mm-hmm. No, and, seriously. Have you ever seen people like that? People who love themselves and love being, you know, if they're by themselves, they love being by themselves. But if you sit and watch those people, they're never alone.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just got very comfortable, like, just taking time for myself and doing what I need to get done. And I started people coming into my life that are appreciative or more, you know, open, more appreciative, spiritual, you know. And it's funny because, yes, I'm curious as to the person I end up with. But what I'm noticing is that the people that are coming into my life are little bits of him. No, they're little bits of him. That's the best way to put it, which means, oh, okay, God, so you do hear me. You know, this person's very healthy and takes care of themselves physically, is spiritually open, a good person. They're not the person for me, but you're listening. Because little by little, I could see what I'm attracting. You know, so just meeting more men that are more responsible with, you know, whatever they, you know, their money and the way they live their lives. Meeting more people like that, I'm starting to see a pattern of, like, those are the type of men that are coming into my life more often. And that's obviously what I want if you put it all together. Because I know that I haven't met the person yet, because one of them is taken. He feels like a brother. And the other person is, you even said that he's not what I'm looking for, but he has certain attributes that I am, but I'm not looking for one piece. So it's just showing me that it's opening up.
Right.
So that's making sense. And, you know, I'm going to ask you the question. Do you pick up anything about the guy? Not when, about him, because if I ask you when, you'll tell me, don't do that. So.
Yes, you're putting expectations on the whole
thing,
right?
Exactly. I won't do that, because I think that when time surprises me, it's more fun. But I guess, like, what do you pick up the attributes that are going to come in? Because I already know what I've already put out there.
Everything you want.
Don't do that.
Well, you know, but I think some people should embrace that and say, okay, I'm going to find somebody I can actually. Because I heard so many scenarios lately where people's like, I don't want to meet somebody who's just like me. That'd be boring, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm thinking someone that's exactly like me. I didn't say that, but, you know.
I'm just saying, me personally, I would like to come home and sit down and talk to somebody who actually knows what I'm talking about.
Well,
who experiences
true.
The same thing I want to. And we have to look at the situation of a law of attraction. You know, sit there and say, I want to find somebody who is the opposite of me. That kind of goes against the law of attraction, realistically.
Yeah, it does go against the law of attraction. I agree.
You know, like attracts like, dudes. And if you see someone, like, you look at somebody and you go, I would never do that. You better think about that again, because you attracted that person into your life by what you said, thought, did, felt, whatever. You did that, okay? You did it. I swear to you. Like I told that one lady, I said, you know all those bad things you did? That was your fault. I said, but you know what the good news is? And she goes, what? All the good things you did and manifested, that was your fault too. So all you got to do is figure out how to manifest more good things than bad. And realize what's going on realistically is the idea when you, like in the Bible, it says focus on the kingdom of God. Or the kingdom. God, you know, the God kingdom. The kingdom of God on heaven. If you think about that one aspect and put it in a, you know, put it in different ways of saying, or just put it in that way. Now, we all know for a fact that heaven and the kingdom is a positive place. So what it's saying, when you focus on a positive place, you have the tendency to make your space as positive as where you want to be, and then you're going to realize you've always been there the whole time. It was you and your perceptions of what bad and good was. There is no such thing. It's the idea, like we said before at the beginning of the show, there's only two things that are real. The two emotions, there's only two emotional things in this world, fear and love. If you fear, you can't love. If you love, you can't fear. So if you sit and so you look at the Bible, had it right from the first part. If you love your neighbors as you love yourself, just love, 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 love. Nothing negative happens. There's nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. I hate a person who, what was that one person said? A person without fear is a scary person. I said, or the scary thing, because you never know what they're going to do. And I'm sitting there going, like, there has to be some kind of fear to make someone righteous and good. We know for a fact that we've seen people that were actually raised by devil worshippers, and they come a point to their lives that they know what right or wrong is, and they always want to be on the other. They always want to be on the positive side of that. Doesn't that tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
We just allow it to happen. It always opposes to all the good things. Of course, there's going to be some obstructions, but the more you stay positive and strong within yourself, the easier it is to go over those obstructions. You know, the blockages and the kind of stuff. Like we were saying before, if you learn from the reflections, and that's just not from your significant other. If you learn from all the reflections that come to you, what is going on? If you learn from every one of those things, you're going to find out that you are probably closer to everybody than you ever have in your whole life, because you just realize at that moment, you don't need to know, because you already knew. All these people were just being who they are. They're presenting themselves to you as they really are. And it's for you to sit there and look at the situation and go, oh, okay. Knowing that, it makes it a whole lot easier to make decisions of who you want to be with and who you don't. And also realize in the situation, you're not responsible for anybody's success. That's their job. But the one thing I've seen is in the process of healing yourself, like it said that one, I can't remember exactly what book it was, but it always sticks in my mind. When you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. It all starts with you. So if you're with somebody and you don't know and they're not treating you very favorably, probably at that moment you got to look at it too and be honest. If you're allowing it to happen, you're not being respectful to yourself. So people have a tendency to follow through, not being that way with you. I was just, you know, when I saw the soulmate thing, I was going to read it slowly, but it was one of those things that we got some interference of some things in the background, which I thought was kind of wild. It drove me freaking crazy at the moment, but, you know, when we have a chance to restate it, we will. And with answering your question.
Oh, like, do you remember my question?
Yes.
Now, okay.
What I got was February. I got around February 28th. Now, I wouldn't sit there and say to be right on.
No, I actually didn't ask you when for the first time. I said if you could see anything about him, you know, not his outfit. I mean, it's just...
Okay, I found it. Yeah, I found this thing about soulmates. It says a soulmate is someone to whom we feel profoundly connected, as though the communication and the communing that takes place between us were not the product of intentional efforts, but rather a divine grace. This kind of relationship is so important to the soul that many have said there is nothing more precious in life. It's one of those things of realizing, too, if you're not connected with yourself spiritually, it's hard to connect with your soulmate and your significant other. That's why I was telling somebody, I was trying to say, like, you know, hey, the more you know who you are, you will know who that person will be because you know you. And next you know, It's no longer just you. It's we. It's us. And that's how it works. It really does. As simple as that. And I know sometimes, you know, people look at the situation and go, so what's up with you? Does it really have to be anything up with me? And I was sitting there going, I sit there and thought about this thing with the particular person I was talking about. And I do notice one thing I've never done that I'm doing with this situation is I know she exists. I know she's thinking about me. I know all these things are going on. It doesn't matter what is going on at this moment. We're not talking on the surface. People can go out with all kinds of people and think they should be with this person and that person. It's the ideal, realizing that if you're picking up on a connection with somebody, it's a confirmation that it does exist. And that's all you need to know. It's like giving you little bits and pieces and saying that person is coming to you. And when you feel her, it just shows you that closer. It's like almost like each connection is like just being that much closer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was the other day, I was sitting there going over some things. It freaked me out, too, that I felt at this moment that I was almost like we were one, seriously. I thought, it's like I zoned out for a minute where I felt like I was where she was at and she was where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sitting there going, okay, I've never experienced that before, but what does it mean? And it was almost like my angels and guides said, well, it's just a confirmation. Somebody said that they didn't think or know, or somebody gave you some kind of information that made you doubt it, and all of a sudden you felt that connection, which reestablished you and put you in a good place where you realize it still does exist. You know, so when we sit there and look at the situations, and then we start really feeling them, I think it's one of those things. Go and it's like if you feel like at that moment you should sit down and go over a nice little affirmation or do something like that. Then do it. See what happens. It might actually be one of those things where you're feeling it, and they want you to really kick into the whole thing. Because I've seen people say that before. Keep saying your affirmations. Keep doing that work until it happens. But don't get caught up in the whole thing where it has to be a chore. It's more of like, take 15 minutes in the morning, see it, feel it. And I told everybody, I got that one thing where it says, After you get done with your visualization and you feel it and you almost feel like you were living at that moment, you put a little zinger on the end of it and say, this or something better now manifests for me. Now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned.
Oh.
Holy mackerel. I'm sorry, guys, but that was pretty scary. I was right in a moment, you know. And what I'm saying is, it's like, you know, you sit there and feel it, and you know it. And I said, I almost do that after every visualization, where I'll say, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. Because I just feel at that moment, whatever's going to happen is in my best interest. And really, realistically, it's all we need to know. Right at that moment, it's just, okay. You're done. Are you? Well, sometimes we have to really let it go to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There was this one, it says, when you walk, let your heart lead the way, and you'll find love any day. Not just today, but anytime you walk out there. And you know, it's like putting it out there, like we said before, following your heart. And people think that there are certain things you can't follow your heart with. But if you sort of look at all the successful people out there, most of them tell you they love what they do. So don't tell me it's not the heart.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with that. I mean, I feel like I've been very open and I've met a lot of wonderful people in the past, I want to say, 2 months. But, you know, I'm very true to my heart, so I know when someone's not for me. And that's what I've experienced. I mean, that's why I asked you.
Yeah.
What do you pick up about this person that's coming sometime this year? Like, I guess about them, what are the things you pick up about them?
Yeah, well, I was actually, I'm not trying to change the subject or not, but I was actually reading, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's this book right here. There was talking about a certain, and I was trying to put it in the right context because it's not a sexual thing, but it is a sexual position. That in the process of, it's like a, what do you call that? Kama Sutra?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. It's a position. And what it is, it's a sexual position where a man will sit down with his legs crossed, and then a woman will sit on top of him, and then we'll say they become one. What happens at that moment, and to really prove the point that you are what you are, soulmates, twin flames, whatever, at that moment of doing that position, all your chakras will line up together. Not just will your bodies become one, but your chakras at that moment will become one, and your energy, both your energies will mix and become one. This is what I call really the real connection, and people, because honestly, you really cannot have that connection with just anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do that position and you say, "Well, it was great sex," then you didn't feel it, because when you become one with somebody, it's like, I don't know how to, I don't think there's really any way to describe it, at that moment of being, just being. There is, like we talked about before, God, and it talks about the Omega, which is actually a continuous circle. There is no end, and there is no beginning. See, and we look at things just like that. And if you also look at the symbol infinity, the eight, it's two circles put together. They continuously go in a continuous cycle that never ends. If you could take every relationship in your life, including yourself, and create that energy, you would never have, I don't think you'd have any more problems. And if you did, there would be so much great energy that you wouldn't care. You'd always sit there and look at the situation going, there's nothing to worry about, because all my wants, needs, and desires no longer exist, because they're all fulfilled every day. I am blessed every minute of every day. Whew, that was tiresome. I'm going to sit there and go over this thing real quick. And I said February, I got around the 28th. I also get a very strong connection with a lot of things that are going on, because I feel like I don't really want to go into the ideal of looks and that kind of stuff unless it really comes up that way. But it seems like it's more of an essence of connection, and to realize that when you do connect with somebody and it is that one, it's a spiritual connection first. People want to argue with me on that one, but I told this lady tonight, I'm like, you know something? It's amazing. You call me up and you're asking me for advice and information into these situations. And then when I start giving you the information, you want to sit there and argue with me. And I hate to say it this way, but I am the professional. I'm in the position because you called me. Why are you not listening? And I said, if you're not listening to me, I can guarantee you that you're not listening to yourself. Because you've already got it convinced, and you're trying to convince me now. So you should just take a step back and look at yourself right now. Go look at. There's actually the one book I was talking about, it was affirmations and stuff. It's called the mirror. It's called the mirror. It's like a mirror therapy session where you actually look in the mirror on everything you do,
mm-hmm.
and realize that nothing happens in your life if it wasn't for you. And to look at yourself like this. When you can look at yourself as a gift to the world, when people don't, you'll know who they are, because you know who you are.
That I'm not confused about at all. Because, you know, you had mentioned that to me months ago, and that stuck with me. Oh, my God. If that's like glue to the brain.
Yeah, because I was sitting there talking to people, and people like you come back, call and talk to me and all kinds of stuff. I'm sitting there going, you know, I hear the compliments. I hear all this stuff that, you know, you're doing great work and you're helping people out and change a lot of things in their own lives. Not just the ideal. That kind of sense of helping people do those major changes in their lives. To sit here and go, this is why I do this. This is why I love doing this. Sometimes I even ask myself, I should be a whole lot busier. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like saying, well, sometimes that when we get caught up in the situations of what we don't have, we don't realize that maybe we just haven't asked for it completely.
That's very true.
See, I was reading this one here. It says, to love and be loved is to feel the sun from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious, man. You guys should get this book. There's some things in here. It talks about letting go of stuff, letting go of negative energy, how to put more positive back in your life, how to take. And there was actually one person I've done this myself, and I was telling people the easiest way to find the affirmations for you is to watch yourself as you're talking and speaking. And if you say something negative, the simplest way to create an affirmation is to take what you just said and turn it into a positive. I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine. I was like, watch this. You sit there and look at a situation. I got hit by a car. But it was cold. So we look at the positive. Now I'm in the hospital in a nice warm room. It could be simply that. If you could take your whole life and for everything you see, look for the positive and everything else, after a while, that's all you're going to see. Let's see. Find the person who will love you because of your differences and not in spite of them, and you have found a lover for life. You know, and also you sit and look at the situation and that one statement too, right? When you find the person who will love you because of your differences and not in spite of them, and you have found a lover for life. Is it not you? Is it not you? That's you.
Yeah.
I guarantee if people don't understand, because I've actually done a lot of readings lately where I tell them, I was like, one lady even told me, she goes, I don't believe in soulmates and bullshit like that. I said that my favorite movie, City of Angels, says some things are true no matter if you believe them or not. So what it's saying is, it's like these things are true, no matter if you believe them or not. They're still true, no matter what you say or don't do. I love this one. It was saying, my great hope is to laugh as much as I cry, to get my work done, and to try to love somebody and have the courage to accept the love in return. And that's the hardest thing for a lot of people to do, because they sit and talk about it. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. Okay, you're a giver, but if you keep putting all that stuff out there, it's stacking up at your door. You might as well open the door and let it in so you can actually experience all those things to the fullest. Because that's the truth about experiencing life to the fullest, is to appreciate every little thing that comes into your life.
Mm. Very true.
That was weird.
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of givers never want to receive. They just... It's almost like they feel like it's wrong to receive. You know,
is that
like
you?
I used to go through that years ago. Not anymore. Not anymore. I am a poster child for maintaining boundaries and receiving. I like this maintaining boundaries thing a lot. I like it a lot.
It makes you feel good.
You know, it makes you feel good. People don't think it makes you feel good, but it actually does. You still didn't answer my question. You just said,
hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes, you can.
Did you hear the music?
I heard the music earlier.
I was gonna watch Miss Carissa, the real psychic. I think she's a nice lady and she has pretty hair. But sometimes when you hear people talk about the ideal, that I am the real psychic, I think it still falls in the category that if you are it, you don't have to say it. People will see it. And I'm not saying she's not. I think I've actually got one reading from her that kind of blew my mind. I will have to say that. It blew my mind when I got this reading from this lady, because the thing she picked up on was pretty much right on the money. And I thought I was going to basically fall out of my chair. And I was actually trying to pick up a lot of things, which, you know, I don't know how to even describe it. You know, some people, the first time I went on her show, she pissed me off. I'll have to say that. I'll say it real clearly. That I went on her show, and I just kind of like said, hey, I have a show on Block Talk Radio, and because she asked me about, you need to get out more to actually find somebody. And I said, well, I can't do it this weekend. I got two shows to do. And started talking about my shows and stuff. And she's like, don't come on my show and advertise. I'm like, why not? If you came on my show, I didn't care what you said. I'd probably even promote you more. I don't feel threatened by no one. Never will. You know, let's look at the situation. People are people, and everybody's doing their little thing, and there is no such thing as competition. Competition is a human concept of thinking that someone's taking something from you. But we also go back to the idea of the original sin, which means the lack of. When you have the lack of love, you feel like you got to steal someone's wife. If you have the lack of money, you feel like you got to steal it. So see, the lack of always puts you in a position of doing something against you. Not, you know, when you people, most people say, well, you're stealing from that person. Actually, you're doing something against yourself because you're going against yourself at that moment. Because if you would sit back and realize the potential of who you are, then you'd realize you could manifest anything you wanted and you didn't have to steal it from somebody else or take it. And that's the point. Anybody who feeds in any kind of insecurities with thinking that kind of thing, or, ooh, you're coming on my show and promoting yourself. What does that mean? What are you scared of? What is your fear? You're the real psychic, so you sure know what's up with me. And you would have knew that from that at that moment, I was very sincere about coming on your show and actually getting a reading. Yes. People are going, you're saying something about this? I think this woman is a fantastic psychic. I think she's a fantastic person. It's just that sometimes, like all of us, you need to take a step back and reevaluate from time to time. That's all. So, Lisa.
Okay.
On that note, I was just, there was this one in here I keep seeing. I saw this one where it says soulmates don't finally meet. They finally realize that they were one. I just want to make sure I got that right, because it was, when I read it the first time, I know I read it in this book. So I'm sitting there going, where the heck's it at? But I saw that, it was so incredible to sit there and read that from somebody and say, okay, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I am clear about the nature of the person and relationship I now wish to manifest. You got, and one thing I was, you know, with anything, which you know for a fact, that you actually had to put yourself in a situation and say, hey, you know something? You have to be really firm with yourself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And accept your manifestation. That's what I was saying before when people sit there and say, I'm not ready to accept this. No, you're a selfish bastard because you manifested it. Now you don't want to deal with it? We know a law of attraction says like attracts like. So something you said or did at that moment. Did I say bastard? Anyway, I didn't mean to say it that way. I was just saying, it's like, you do get angry with people because, especially when you know for a fact of the things that you've done with your life, and it's the same energy. And these things have happened that make you angry. Why they make you angry? It's because you're looking at a situation and know exactly what's up. And you're asking yourself, why can't this person just accept it for what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they manifested it, they told themselves somewhere down the line that they were ready for it. That's why people get angry. You manifest me into your life, and now you want to kick me out the door because you said, I don't want to deal with it. I'm not ready for a relationship. Then you,
well, then she wasn't, yeah. It's, like I
oh,
said,
it's just the idea of looking at people and going, you know something? You just sit there and said that we have the same list, that we have this. I'm just saying, as an example, using these things and saying, you told me this, this, and this, this. The only thing you can come up with right now is to look at yourself and ask yourself, why did you lie to that person? And to sit there and say you didn't, and to sit there and say you're not a game player, is another lie, because you're not being totally honest with yourself. So therefore you're playing games with other people because you don't want to deal with your feelings. Because most people run for one reason, because it's real, and they don't want to deal with it. So they run. Because we know for a fact that when we've seen people, I've seen this a lot, okay? I'll put it out there and say it like this. I've seen relationships like this, I swear to you, that you see people run away, and all of a sudden the guy calls you up for the woman and says, hey, this guy or woman's with somebody else. Do you know what's happening at that moment? They are with other people because they can deal with those situations because they're not emotionally emotionally attached to them. So instead of dealing with the emotional thing that they've manifested, what they do is they manifest someone they can deal with that they don't have no connection to. But the only thing that's going to happen in that situation to realize one thing, we've all seen this with women particularly, that are looking for the right man. They meet somebody, and they don't want to deal with the feelings and emotions. Then they attract another man. They attract another man. And then they start looking at the situation going, you know something? What's the problem? Why am I so confused? The reason you're so confused is because you've attracted the same kind of person just in five different guys. You also, I've seen this before. This might sound funny, but it actually happened. A lady called me and said, she goes, I can't find nobody to be faithful. I said, well, dear, won't you stop dating those six guys? And she goes, what? I said, yeah, in the process of dating six guys, guess what you're doing? You're not being faithful. So you cannot attract someone who will be faithful to you because you're not. You need to wipe the slate clean and start all over again and tell yourself to be true to yourself, which you are not a person who does these things. But in the chaos of this fearful of not having someone, you've attracted all these people and become something you're not. When you all you had to do was accept yourself and who you were, and probably the first man you were with, that was what it was. You know? So I can sit there and say those things because I've actually experienced these things and work with people who do those things. And it's like it's always the person who's running away from the relationship, who's always hooking up with somebody else because they can deal with it. They're usually ego bound. They're thinking in their head and they're doing exactly what they think they want to do. See, the word is think. They're not, because if you sit there and talk to them and say, "What do you feel you should do?" Well, I think. They won't go there. You know why? Because if they acknowledge the feeling, then they know they're making a mistake. Some people freak out because the idea of the realization you've made a mistake, or just put it this way, say you have friends around you that you're listening to and stuff like that, and then you realize that these friends were, you know, basically just they're jealous, or they're something with the situation, or maybe they were attracted in your life at a time that you had certain fears, and now you realize that you can't trust these people. But you've made decisions because of what they said. Another double whammy for most people is to sit there and go, oh my gosh, in the process of listening to these people, I might have thrown the best relationship I've ever had away. So sometimes they don't want to go there either because it's more guilt on top of guilt because they made a bad decision because of what people did. So see, the realization on that one was the realization, you know, as soon as you realize, oh, the friends are not good for me. She also realized at the top of that she'd made some bad decisions because of them. What can I do about it? You just wish somebody would walk in their life at that moment and say, the person you think is your soulmate or twin flame, what do you feel? Go back to feeling. What do you feel? If you still feel the connection and you still feel pulled to that person, more likely that person feels the same way. So therefore, don't let the fear do another whammy to you again and keep you from where you really want to be. Just pick up the phone or whatever you're guided to do and contact that person. Because I guarantee you, when you pick that phone up, that person will be on the other side, being glad to hear that voice. Everything happens for a reason. You got to understand, too, this is not a soap opera. You know, we're not going to fade to black and then someone's going to make a bad mistake and hook up with somebody else. Like that, what was that one song I heard back in the 70s? It's sad to find the one you love when you're already with somebody else. I'm like, this is just a song.
That's so strange.
Yeah. It's so sad to be, you know, to find the love of your life when you're already with somebody. And I'm
well, that's
like,
what happens when you settle. That's the result of settling.
That's right.
What you don't want.
Every
that's
time
really
you settle,
bad
you get yourself.
People do that.
Yeah, every time you settle, you put yourself in another situation where you settle. And more likely the person you're with is settling too. So it's a constant settling situation. And the only time you want to see something settle is the sand in your freaking fish tank. You don't want to sit there and settle for anything. And it's like, how can you sit there and look at people and say, okay, this is how it really works. When you start going after what you want, you set an example for everybody around you to do the same thing. You set off a chain reaction of everybody getting exactly what they want. Guess what happens? The world's a whole lot happier place, I guarantee you. And you started the whole freaking bang. So pat yourself on the back and say, ooh, did I do that? Yes, you did.
Hmm. Most people don't want to take responsibility. That's the sad part, you know.
Yeah,
they don't
take
responsibility for their own lives.
What is it? You take
their love decisions.
Yeah, when you take 100% accountability for your life and realize everything that's happened in your life is because of a decision you made, you can sit there and say, that may have made me do this. But something inside of you really wanted to give in. And I was, we sat and talked this before too on the show, where I was talking about, I was talking to this woman, she goes, when I was a child, I was molested. What do you got to say about that? I said, I've actually done research with children who all said that they had a bad feeling that they shouldn't do something. Maybe we should start doing this. Teach our kids how to trust their feelings. And then when they feel like they shouldn't go into a situation, they don't. But we've always told them with certain situations and that kind of stuff, you know, never go run off with a stranger. I say, don't run off with a strange man or a strange person or don't go near someone when you have a strange feeling. Because realistically, if you think about it and you trace it back to the core of everything, everybody you have ever met in your whole life was a stranger at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you look at those situations, it's not strange people. It's not a stranger, let's put it that way. It's not a stranger you should be watching out for. It's strange people and how you feel when you're around them. I talked to this one lady who was molested as a child. And she said flat out that she had a feeling that she shouldn't go there. And she said if she would have listened and gone the other way and not done it, then what happened to her wouldn't have never happened. And when you start looking at situations like that, people are like, oh, so she's blaming herself. No, she's not blaming herself. She's just looking for a place to start to change her life, to realize that she don't have to feed into that stuff no more. It's like looking at the situation of being molested, those emotions and stuff that came with it. A lot of times those are just baggage that you're keeping with you because of what happened. But to realize the situation and everything that went with it doesn't exist anymore. So why should you allow anything else to exist either? It is that easy to let go of. To realize that you don't have to let anything ever hurt you or hold you down. It's like society tells you, you got to feel it. I think we have to feel and we have to express ourselves, and we all are deserving of love. I mean, that's what we should be focusing on. Tell the lady, okay, you got molested. Who cares? You're still destined. You're still born to be loved, cherished and adored. No matter what anybody or no matter what you can either say what no matter what you allow to happen to you, when no matter if you feel the other way, that you feel like this person took advantage of you and all these kind of stuff, just tell yourself, okay. But the more that you understand that you deserve to be loved, adored and cherished, then you won't I don't think you'll ever allow that to happen to you again. When you feel down on yourself, you seem to attract more people who want to take advantage of you. When you love yourself, you won't allow that to happen. Even to the point you understand why it did, and you understand why that person did what he did. So there's some kind of lack within himself. Doesn't condone it, it's just the idea of understanding it. Because we also had a lady come on the show, too, who talked about another lady who was a realtor who got beat up and raped and left for dead in a house that she was showing some guy. And it was amazing when she said or told everybody that she was going to take 100% accountability for her life and her actions, and told everybody that she would have listened to herself and her guidance and stuff, it would have never happened. And this one lady told me, she goes, well, why is she blaming herself? Why is she being a victim? I said, I think you're getting the wrong interpretation here. She's not playing the victim. A victim would sit there and say, my life is ruined forever. She said she accepted it. She faced it and she confronted it and realized if she would have listened to her angels and guides, it would never have happened. To realize that doesn't condone what he did. It's just a realization that her actions, her decisions put her in that situation. Because what had happened was the guy called her up and said, I want you to show me this house. So at that moment, she even said this too. My angels and guides were even talking to me as I was walking up the sidewalk to go into the house to go and leave. And I didn't listen. Why didn't I listen? Because I wanted to make money. I put money before myself. And in the process of doing that, I put myself in jeopardy. So, how do you feel?
Wow. Well, you got to listen to your angels and guides. That's
what it's saying.
I will tell you, I was going to say that something like that happened to me when I was in graduate school. It was really late. It was around, like 1:30 in the morning, and I was in the library, and I was going to use the ATM in the basement, and I was going down there with all my books, like in a little suitcase that rolled. I literally had one of those little suitcases. And I was going down the stairs, and I was just like, something, the second I got to almost going down the last flight of stairs where I saw in to the room where the ATM was, my stomach started to turn, and I just literally started running up the stairs. I didn't even need to ask any questions. If your stomach starts to twist when you look through a door, that's never a good thing. I literally ran up the two flights of stairs with a huge suitcase.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel heavy when I was running. It's like the adrenaline you get from something bad happening or feeling something bad's going to happen. You know, I don't even know what would have happened. I really don't care.
Right.
But I literally felt my stomach just tell me something was wrong, and I was it. I was out of there. Because I know I needed to get money, but I could go to another, I can go somewhere else. And I ended up leaving school and going to an ATM at the grocery store. And I was waiting for a cab, and I was hoping to, because I was getting a cab to go all the way home. And interesting enough, the person that pulls up in the taxi that I have to flag down was a female cab driver.
Oh, really?
So in the end, I realized that that's how much I needed to be safe, that a woman ended up driving me home. So that was, I'm just saying, it's amazing how the angels work. I ended up getting a ride home from a woman, and, you know, ended up being good. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
So that's my little story about following your intuition in scary times.
Always pay attention to those people around you, too, that you don't notice. I was sitting there talking to my mom, and she was working at this place. It's a medical center, like a little, it's like a small practice with like five or six doctors that got together, right? And she was doing her little thing working there, and she met this, there was always this black lady there working and having a great time and always had a smile on her face and always kept my mom in good spirits and that kind of stuff. And there was something going on. I can't remember what it was, but it was just like this lady was there at the right time to help her to see some things that she didn't get herself in some kind of legal issues or something. I can't remember what it was. And she got some information to keep herself from getting in trouble. That's why it went. So my mom was talking to the lady who ran the office, and she was asking about this black lady who always had the smile on her face and glasses and stuff like that. And the lady said, "I have no idea who you're talking about."
Oh my God!
And she said, "What do you mean? She worked here, and her name—I can't remember her name—with Gladys or something." And she was talking and that kind of stuff, and she was always smiling. She was always like, she had this radiance about herself. And then my mom sat there for a minute. She realized the lady she was talking to, who runs the office, would have never hired a black lady in that office.
Oh, so that was, that's not good.
But, you know,
shame.
I'm just saying with the situation that lady was still there, and it was one of those things like that. Remember in the Bible it says, "Watch who you talk to, because you might be entertaining angels." And I was just like, I've had a couple situations like that too, where there's people who pop out of nowhere. They always intervene in situations, and then they're gone. And there's usually no hide or hair of them. And you're trying to figure out, what the heck was that? And I think it's amazing. Yes, I do. And there was a couple of things like that where I was sitting there going, because I was telling her, I remember this one girl I was trying to get back with, and I remember that I said, if somebody could intervene in this situation to tell her what she needs to hear, instead of, they could actually, how would they put that, a person to intervene to counteract what other people keep telling her and disagreeing with her no matter what, you know, or telling her, leading her. If there would be one person that could just pop in the situation and say, like when she says something, to be totally honest with her and tell her exactly the truth. But when you say, hey, this guy, someone come up to you and said, hey, you know, Donnie's just trying to take advantage of you and all this other stuff. It's like having one person come into that situation at that moment and look at that woman in the face and say, do you realize the idea of listening to what that person just said? was such a contradiction, because you know how you feel and you know him, that he would never do that, that you're just using these friends as more of an scapegoat to walk away from the situation that you've always looked for in your whole life. To actually have someone walk into the situation and change things that drastically. And this one particular woman I was actually had been focused on getting back with, I was talking to my friend on the phone. And after saying that, God and angels, just, you know, someone, if you could just send her, if you could send this person just one good friend to tell her she's either full of it, and to, you know, to actually be that person, that one good friend, like I've always said, I think the best friend you could ever have is the one that tells you the truth when you sit there and talk to him instead of kissing your ass and sugarcoating everything.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine on the phone. It was kind of funny. I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, somebody's on call waiting. Someone's beeping in. She says, what's this number? And she read the number off. I said, oh, my God, that's that girl. She goes, why is she calling me for? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I asked my angels and guides and God for someone to intervene and tell her how it is. I guess you're the one. And she was like, oh, thanks. I'm like, well, I was just thinking, you know, it wasn't my choice. I just asked for someone to intervene that would be, and Kelly's one of those people too. I remember when she talked to her, and she said, she was talking to this particular woman, and this woman said, you know, I'm going through this and this and this, and she goes, you know something? You're not special. What you're going through, 1,000 women are going through too. Is to realize if you're going to allow it to continue, if you're going to sit there and actually be happy for a change, and realize all it takes is you changing your mind, and basically really going after what you really want. And I'm like, you told her that? I guess you were the best choice for the job then, huh? So it's like one of those things, you know. I think you put it out there, and our prayers are always answered. Maybe not the way we always wanted to, but sometimes they are answered the way we wanted to.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
I was just like, so freaking, you know, I'm just saying, I don't mean to cut you off. It's like looking at people and saying, I tell stories like this to say, you know, sometimes you're going through the same thing, to realize that in those particular situations, if they didn't happen, even if they were on the good intentions and you had a great feeling with those people, there's a reason. If it's just the idea of realizing one thing, that every person that crosses your path, you love. You always will be. You know why? Because you're a loving, caring person. That's your nature. So, you know, I've had women ask me the question, well, you know, I'm with somebody else, and this other guy came out of the picture, and I still love him. Why do I still love him? I said, isn't that normal? What? Of course. And it finally hits them, and they say, okay, you're right. I'm a loving, caring person. So it's just the idea of realizing you still love him. It just don't work between the two of you. And now you are with your twin flame. Now you know. Now you understand where Frank is. Frank was somebody in your life to point out things to you. And if it's just the idea to show you that you are a loving, caring person, and then you can see the best in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people say you can see the God essence in everybody. And now you can see it within yourself. Now you realize you deserve the best, and now you do.
Mm-hmm.
Just
still,
like that.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. But you still didn't answer my question.
Let's see.
What are you talking about? What question?
Are you still talking about the February?
Yeah, I wasn't asking about the date. I was actually behaving by not asking you when, and you gave me a when. I was just trying to see what you actually, what did
I was
sitting
there telling you, sweetie.
Him.
Yeah, it's like telling you, don't worry about the when.
I know, but come on.
Don't worry about
it. By then
about
I'm going to forget
I'm just
anyway.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to forget. That's the point.
I will sit there and say, I've been saying 2-2s with everybody, so I definitely would say the 2-2-2s are kicking you in the head. That's February and all that kind of going on. The ideal, like I've said before, I don't really pick up any kind of descriptions of the person and stuff.
Well, not like, I guess, looks. I'm talking about like traits. Do you pick up traits, things, anything like that?
Do I pick up traits? I do.
Yeah, like character traits. And, all right.
Okay, that's not fair, is it?
No, well, it's really not. I was going to ask, fine, if you can't do that, can you pick up...
I was going to tell you, like I told my last friend, Lori, I told her, I said, you know, it's like this. When you look at the situation, you know, the idea of manifesting exactly what you want, it's the idea of trusting oneself that you're going to get it. But also, it doesn't hurt to sit back and say, you know something? Maybe I should even ask myself, should I redo my list?
Again? Oh, Come on, you know, now. Then I'm just going to be changing people.
Get this book. You get this book, The Soulmate Secret. In this book, there was a lady in here who actually had written down the list. And when she would redo their list all the time until she had a file full of lists.
I think I'm reading. I've already hit the capacity. I don't want to keep doing that.
Yeah, but you have to understand one thing. Life is progression. So is everything else.
True.
So if you progress with your list, it's just saying that, you know, as we go through, there are certain other needs, wants, and desires that we want.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm always telling people flat out, are you a touchy-feeling person? Because I've heard this, and it really appalled me at the time I heard it. That was a particular woman I was dating. She said, well, somebody told me that romance is a childlike thing, and I should grow up. I said, you should tell those people to kiss your ass and hit down the road to realize that if you are a person who is romantic, who loves to be touchy-feeling, who likes to be all over her man, it's the ideal of focusing on just that, to find a person who will appreciate that. And obviously the man who just said that does not.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That I agree with. You just gave me an idea to write a couple of things down again. However, I guess I was trying to understand, like, if you picked up traits or the setting I'd be in. But you know what? Because you weren't going to give me the traits, I was going to ask for the setting.
What?
But now I'm just going to nag you and ask you about the traits.
Yeah, but it's not the idea I won't give you any traits. I'm just...
No, I know what you mean, to make sure that I'm putting together the ones I want. And believe me, I have. But you just gave me an idea for another one. You gave me another idea, so therefore
that's
I was like, okay.
Well, that was the whole idea.
I know. You just gave me another good one. But
I'm sorry.
But now you have to tell me, because I keep asking you, not saying anything.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think it's really fair to look at someone and say he's got dark hair.
No, I didn't ask you by his physical. See, I didn't say that.
Okay, then what are you asking then?
Well, I know he's going to have dark hair. You don't have to tell me that. I know that already.
I bet you're happy he's going to have hair.
Oh, my God, you do know me so well. That is very true.
Yes.
That is very true, because I'm like, seriously? Why is everybody giving up on their hair?
Oh, yeah. But one thing I said about, I tell people to get this book, because in this book it also talks about this one lady. When she was a child, she got a vision of a man's face, and she asked, where's my soulmate? And they said, Italy. And do you know that when she was in her 40s and she finally just let go and said, I'm finally done with being single, that she actually found a guy who fit the description of that person's face that she saw that night, and he was also from Italy.
Nice.
So you sit there and look at the situation. I mean, I was sitting there focusing on some things too myself, that I've seen twin flames and soulmates and drawing pictures within their journals and stuff, and then being really floored when they actually, it was one of those things when they get with somebody and they're having this relationship with this person and realize they finally found that person. They go back and look at their list or look back in their journal and they see this and they're just like, whoa, floored, and say, oh my gosh. I know it was when I sat there, I was with that one girl I was actually engaged to, that when I went back to look at my journal after we got back together, there was one thing, and I think this is like a good example, because I wrote this in my journal one time. I think I even read it once or twice. That was it. I never really focused on that one as much as I did the other. And that happened quicker than anything else. It was just simply saying that since a person had walked off and left me, that they needed to come back and get me.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was I followed some guidance and got a ride with somebody to where she was. And then she came the last 10 or 15 miles to where I was, picked me up, and actually took me home with her. And it wasn't until I was reading my journal that I realized that had happened, that I started looking at other things, like, for example, have a better sex life. Are there certain wants, needs, and desires in your sex life that you want or attention with, right? And it was kind of funny.
That's absolutely true for me, I would have to say.
Yeah, because I started reading the journal, realizing that these things are happening, to the point of actually writing in there that when we get back together, I want her to be focused on getting married. And do you know, as soon as we got back together, we actually went to a wedding consultant. We started looking at wedding dresses. I was talking to some people about being my best man, and she was talking about, and it was kind of funny, like, I never really said anything. It was, we got back together, and she said, now that we got the back together, is there any chance we can actually talk about getting married? I'm like, whoa. She actually said that?
Mm.
And I was just floored. And I said, okay, that just taught me right then and there, write it down.
Yeah, write it down.
So you know? I did.
Well, I will write all that down, but I guess I'm
Sister Marissa.
Asking the person because it's not necessarily the second I meet him we're going to start dating. I don't know all that.
I was telling Lori, it's just the idea of taking all the expectations off everything and just know beyond the shadow of a doubt that your soulmate or twin flame, he does exist, and it's not the idea of will he or won't he or whatever. It's the idea of realizing he's coming to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, I believe it's true, too. I guess I was just curious to see. It's kind of like when someone starts describing your present to you.
Really? They did that to you?
No, I'm saying
I'm still in the dark on that one.
The situation of me asking you is more like you describing my present versus me trying to you to tell me like the exact point of position he's going to be in exactly when. That's, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, that's not my question.
Yes.
My question is, like, what do you see about him? Because then I know that what I'm doing is working. And you're still not telling me.
Well, I'm tired. I can only tell you what I got. Sunny beaches in Kansas. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, tell me something.
What would you like to know?
Well,
I just know they're coming. I know they're coming, and they could actually be as soon as the end of this month. They could be, but I keep getting more at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting something that's unmistakably, I mean, how would you put this? You will definitely know exactly what we're talking about. It's one of those things of saying, oh, my God, are you serious? And I am so serious about this whole thing that I can't describe it because it's just something that you're going to feel.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I just was interested in the capacity. I mean, I guess, like, it's the
worst.
It's
going to be so, I mean, I'm just saying, the powerful of what you're looking for is definitely this year. I don't care what anybody says. It's this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. I'm serious. I'm just sitting looking at this thing going, are you serious? Yes. I'm looking at the situation going over the whole thing. I was telling everybody else I was sitting with the situation, this particular female I'm talking about. And people are like, you know, I had one reading and someone told me she's with somebody else. And I'm like, okay, but didn't you tell me that when we got back together she'd be coming out of something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that, of actually sitting there looking at the situation and go, what do you feel in this situation? I feel that it's none of my business what she's going through right now. My business is to focus on making sure there's no barriers that's going to keep it from happening and to keep flowing when it does.
Mm-hmm.
Holy mackerel, that was loud, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know.
I love everybody. And I think if we get to that point of saying, yes, you do, and yes, I do, and I love myself, and therefore, I cannot see myself not being with her. I see myself with her every day. Like I told my friend, I write my book and my journal. I write down she's going to call me today. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when I get that call, it only means one thing. That she's reaching out and now she wants us. So it means we are going to be us. That we are us. We've always been us. It's just the ideal of a person coming to the same conclusion that I already knew. You know? Because a friend of mine asked me, how do you know about that? Because I sit there and listen to her. That's why. Really listen to her. And if someone keeps repeating this one little saying to you, they can say what they want to, but they still think about you as us. And that's why I heard from her several times where she would say, I'm with somebody else right now, and this is the way it's going to. And another thing, too, when they say, this is the way it's going to be, we're going to be together forever, we're going to do it, and they're just basically making this concrete. That tells me right there that they really don't have any kind of confidence in the situation because they're basically creating this illusion to back up what they think, but they know in their heart is not. So they have to present that picture to everybody else, okay? So what we do is we trust the feeling within ourselves. We trust that heart-to-heart connection because on the surface, it's for a while, it's not going to look like it. what we see. You know, they're going to be with somebody else, they're going to do this. But when you sit there and pass somebody, you look at them, or even when you talk to them, I remember I sit there and said something to her about Facebook, and I said, why don't you go on Facebook and tell everybody about you and this guy? And she's like, well, I'll do what I want to do. And I said, I told my friend, I said, you see that? I said, yeah, she's telling you exactly what's up. And I said, no, she's actually telling me about how out of control she is by trying to control me. That's what it means. And I said, if you sit there and listen to these things, instead of sitting there saying, okay, she's telling me. Yeah, see, she's telling you. Why would she have to tell you something that's so true? You don't have to tell anybody anything. I mean, we can see it. And that's one thing that's confusing sometimes with people. We don't see it. But we always feel it. So I sit there and said, okay. And then in the next comment she said, even if I wasn't with some, basically what she said was, even if I wasn't with somebody, I wouldn't want us.
Oh, that's never good.
Yeah, but see, listen to what she's saying. She's using the word us. She said, even if I wasn't with somebody, I wouldn't want us. Why is she referring to us? Because that's how she sees us.
Because that's the only way she knows you. That's what's going on at the moment.
That's what she sees. She knows she always sees us. Why would someone take the effort and the energy to alienate you from everything? I mean, everything. You're blocked on everything. You can't communicate with this woman if you tried. And people said, what'd you do? I said, I asked her to be friends. And she said yes. That's the confusing part, right? I asked her to be friends.
Because she doesn't dislike you. I mean, I'm going to tell you this as a woman. She doesn't.
Well, I'm not taking it personal. I'm not taking it personal.
No. I'm saying that's the reason why she wanted to be friends. Because if a woman doesn't dislike you, she doesn't see a reason to not be friends with you. That's why she probably said that.
I'm just saying.
You're not ready. You're not ready. Like that's. I will always say that because you don't want someone that's not ready. It's the worst. They're the ones that break your heart.
I'm just saying, the last time I talked to her, I said, let's be friends, and she said, okay, let's be friends, and all of a sudden she turns and flip-flops about four or five times in the same conversation. Okay, I want to block you on Facebook because I don't want to be your friend. And then she said, I'm going to block you. And then she said, no, I won't block you, but I don't want to be your friend. I'm like, okay, what do you want to be? And then it's like, then she came back and she finally said, I'm not going to block you, but I don't want to be friends. So just leave things the way they are. And I said, I have no idea the way they are. You know? And I was like, simple clarification on that whole thing would be. But you know, like I said before, my angels and guides come back and say, you know something, when you look at the situation of a woman who would even be that confused and tore up, she definitely must have some kind of deep feelings for you. Or why would it disturb her like that? She even said that in the statement when she first started talking to me on Facebook. The first part of that conversation was, until you contacted me, everything was fine. Now I'm confused again. And a friend of mine was like, well, why don't you just leave her alone? I said at the time I was contacted, I would say hi to her, like every 3 weeks. That's not obsessive. That's just somebody who said, this person told me she wanted to be friends with me. I was just reaching out saying, hi, how you doing? And like I said before, I'm always a person that speaks my mind too and says, hey, you know, the problem with the situation is I told her flat out when I had that conversation with the first time was, you said that you want to be just friends. I said, okay, no problem. But in order to get through this, I need to talk to the person that I'm having the problem with. And I feel like if I could sit down and talk to you, you don't have to give me any answers. You don't have to solve any of my problems or give me any solutions. All I'm looking for is to talk to the person right now that I'm having a hard time getting over to maybe get closure to do that. And you said you'd always be there for me as a friend. And I said, I need a friend right now. And that's when she broke the silence after 3 weeks and spoke to me. That's why I said, that's why I've always had this real strong feeling within myself, within my heart, that says, it's not over. Of course, I'm not pushing the issue one way or the other. I've never asked, like I said before, I told her one day, I mean, this is like back in October, I said, I'm expressing myself, I'm telling you how I still feel towards you. Do you have to respond? Do you have to tell me how you feel? No. I said, why can't you just be a friend and just listen? Because realistically, I would give you the same benefit, the same opportunity. You know, to sit there and say, if you're going to say you're going to be a friend, then understand people really see that as see what friendship is, and they take you seriously. Because I've seen a lot of women who don't. Just be friends. And they never hear from them again. You know? But that wasn't the case here. It was one of those things that somebody coming on my Facebook and saying, came on Facebook on my wall and said, leave me alone. My sister brought it out to me very clearly and said, if someone really wants you to leave them alone, they don't put it on your wall. They put it on their wall. Leave me alone. A person who, see, sometimes you got to look at people's actions. That's what I was saying before. Being a psychic can be really something of in-depth of a lot of people that I call people on their bluffs. Good or bad, I don't know if it's good or bad or what. I'm just saying, that's me. And do I have any intentions of stop being me anytime soon? No, I don't. But I think in the situations of people confronting me and who want to run away, I think they're not being truthful to themselves. And they're not running away from me. They're running away from themselves. Because if you see a person, for example, they sit there and she blocks me on everything. We could look at the situation, and like I said before, my intuitional thing on the whole thing, and my guides have even told me this. What's the scariest thing for her? To realize that the people that are around her are not what she thinks they are. And to realize what she gave up because of them. So, some people have, like you said before, people have a lot more things to work through than that. But in the process, we don't give up who we are just because they can't deal with being themselves. And that's the point. A person came into a situation very strong and very wanting to the point where they pursued me. And then all of a sudden, things got scary for them. Because I remember this one statement she said, I've never been with a person who wants it as much as I do. I've always had to sit there and work at it. I've always had to sit there and do all the work. And now I have somebody I'm with who actually wants it as much as I do. I said, well, I don't see that as a bad thing. That's great. That's what it's all about. If you're a touchy, like I was saying before, when you're a touchy-feely person and that's what you want to be all over your man. You find a man who wants to be all over. And that's what it's all about, getting what you want, to realize that what some people think are stupid, some people love. Me, personally, I love a woman all over me. I love a woman who kisses me, who's sitting on my lap, who does all those things. That's just who I am. I love those kind of things. Touchy-feeling, holding hands, the whole bit. Romance, romance, romance. I mean, freaking Tauruses are hopeless romantics. But the idea of saying romantic is childlike. I mean, no, we should use the word realistically, childish. Because childlike, I think we should all be childlike in the anticipation of what's good going to happen. Not the other way, like when I've seen some people, I'm an adult and life just sucks and tomorrow's going to suck too, and they start crying. And I think that a lot of us don't want to be parents, don't want to be adults because of what we see with those particular adults. If that's what adults are all about, a lot of people don't want to be that. And that's what I'm saying with the situation I saw. It's like looking at the things and going, what do you believe? What do you see? What do you know? And if you do that with everybody else and you're always around the money and you hit the nail around the head, then more than likely if you do it with your own life and do it with your own self, your own relationships, and know beyond the shadow of a doubt what you need to do and follow that, more than likely you're right every time. Can we not sit there and say our angels and guides are lying to us or leading us in the wrong direction? Because we know for a fact in the past, every time we've listened to them spontaneously, our lives always get better. Always things happen. Like with my ex-fiance, you know, when I saw certain things fall into place, and I would even ask questions and say, okay, you said we're going to get back together. I'm 1,200 miles away. I'm ready to go. I said, I know you say these things, and it's going to happen, and I've seen it happen 20 many times. So therefore, I know it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop anytime in the future. It's just that we have a tendency to put expectations on things. And like with Lori, that's what I was trying to say with Lori. Lori said that this guy hasn't called her. Why is he not calling me like he's supposed to? Not realizing that we're putting expectations on it. We're saying with the way we are, the way we perceive and do things, everybody else should do the same. And then when they don't, we feel like we're lacking in something, or some, you know, when we should be getting that phone call, not realizing that there is no lack of a phone call. He doesn't have to do anything but being himself, and maybe at that moment he's being himself. And I would just sit there, like I said before, put yourself back as a child does, anticipation of what's going to happen, as in what you've just put out there. This is my manifestation. This is what my desires, wants, my wants, needs, and desires are. And then be in the anticipation of it happening. When you're anticipation of it, you're open to receiving it. And then what happens is you're living it. God, I wish I did a real radio show. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. Anyway, Lisa, you are such a fantastic woman. We all love you.
Thank you.
I think you really love yourself, and I think it's one of those things that what I'm trying to convey to you is, you know, the things that you want, I just feel very strong. The next couple of months, you're going to be living all of them.
Oh, my God, that's great.
You're going to meet this guy. You're not going to think about me. You're going to be sitting so caught up in the moment that it happened and that you actually found, I wouldn't say you found him, but your soulmate, your twin flame, the person you've always been waiting for that you knew was happening, it was right around the corner, is now, may I say, in your bed. that's just an example, okay? So, that's all I'm saying to you, sweetie.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it because the things you say always come to pass. That I will say is true.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I should get you to do commercials for me. Because I was sitting there looking at everything going, I do ask that from time to time where I was like, okay, everybody, you sound great. Why are not more people calling to my website? Maybe it's the idea I should be focusing on a website instead of working for these other companies who are taking half of my money.
I think that's exactly what you should be doing because when I started to work for myself, I would fully go really hard on it and just do a short consulting thing here where nobody takes any money from me, where I make the rate, that is when I started to get more opportunities. That I will share with you. That the second I finally was like, I'm doing it all for me and I'm going to market myself that way and I'm going to get exactly what I want, and I have been getting it. So, do it that way. Like, you have your own stuff together. I mean, you take a consulting gig here and there, you do something, but I guess just, putting it out there in that sense, and
like,
letting go.
Yeah, the other thing I was thinking about, too, when I was here telling you about this story with this particular woman. This particular woman's name is actually Ruth. Her friends call her Katie and her family and stuff like that. I've never called her that. I used to call her Angel. I still call her Angel. And it was just one of those days I said, a good way to clear out the energy and clear out anything in your life is just say one thing. Just like I'm saying right now, if she was like that, you're listening to me, I would sit here and say, Ruth, I love you with all my heart. Always will. And if I never see you again or never hear from you again, I hope you have a fantastic life because you deserve to be cherished, loved, and adored. And I hope that's what you have. If you don't, you can always come back to me because I guarantee you I'll always cherish you, love you, and adore you. Because I always do, and I always have, and I still do. And then you sit there and put it out there and say, I love you because of who you are. But they had that one thing, and it was like, saying that, do you love? I need you because I love you. Not that I love you because I need you. It's that's an immature thing, but when you sit there and actually can tell somebody that I need you because I already love you, it's just one of those things of saying that that's a part of me that is it one of those things where you can actually say that'll be a part of me that I will miss.
No.
Or just sit there and say I miss you. And just put it out there. And like I said, I'm serious. That's how I feel. That was all I was saying. I was thinking to myself, going, I love you. And if I never hear talk to you ever again, I hope you have a wonderful life. I hope that you are loved, cherished, and adored. Because you were. I know I saw that. I still do. I mean, how do you deal with those things? Do you have any? I sort of tell people all the time about that. I was like, how do you deal with that sometimes?
You have to let go. I mean, I think it's the hardest part is letting go. Like, because if it was a female and you weren't in this situation, you would tell her that, you can't hold on to a guy that's clearly saying he's not ready or isn't not ready or wants to be with you. If he's meant to be with you, he'll come around. You can't force him. And it's the same thing with a woman. And, I'll tell you this. If a woman is being advised by her friends, they know her past history of probably being an overgiver or being with people and going too quickly or being taken advantage of. There's another side to that story. And I really believe that when women are like that with their friends, They like that because they're being protective, not necessarily jealous. So before
okay.
you came along, there could have been her jumping in too quickly, being with guys that were unstable and deadbeats, and she's always looking out for them. And if you met, and if she met you too quickly, it could have been them warning her, like, listen, do you remember what you've been going through over the years that we've tried to help you with, that, you know, you've been through? You can't just jump into these things. And if, you know, I just know that that's how it is. Not all your friends are holding you back in a bad way. Maybe
I understand
she had
that.
A history of not thinking.
That's
and,
true too, Lisa. But you
yeah.
also got to go by. You also go by God. You have to go by your own observations.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this woman for over 4 months, and I never saw a friend. I never saw a friend until she started getting exactly what she wanted. That's when I started hearing these people. One guy went on Facebook, and what was so funny about it, she saw these friends for what they was, and she still wanted to embrace them. This guy came on my Facebook and told me, hey, dude, I just want to meet you. I think you're a great person. I'm pretty sure you're a fantastic person. But what he told her was totally the opposite.
Well, see, I didn't know they were male friends. I always thought they were female friends.
No. There's one. I think there's one. I've actually got several readings where it was like there's a couple of people that are telling, they're giving her advice based on what they've gone through, that they still have some issues they haven't faced. And they're giving advice, because, you know, giving advice through that, is saying, you know, this person here, it's like the one I heard, and this one ticked me off the most, was to have somebody say, what is happening between the two of you is not real. And then we ask the question, why is that? Because it's happening over the computer, over Skype, and the phone, and that kind of stuff. I said, well, I can sit here and tell you that when she sees me, she lights up. When she's nervous, she plays with her hair. When she does certain things, see, I know her really well, don't I? I know when she, okay, maybe we shouldn't go into that part, but when there are certain things that she does with her life, she has a tendency to react in certain ways. And you know that. You know the connection between the two of you. It's like reading each other's list. It's like this. I give her my list, and she gives me her list. And guess what? I could read one list and hit everything on the things. When you start to look at things like that, that's what we look for. That's what we're striving for. But I'm just saying, with the situation, what I got was, in the process of being friends, she wanted to be friends, and she was dead bent on being friends. My thing was, it confused me the most at the moment, before I actually got my guidance that came through and said, this is what's going on, was when she said, my friends and family are very important. And I said, well, that may be so to you, but you don't seem to be that important to them, where you don't see them from months to months to months until... We sit there and we had a theory, and it came up. I was writing some information about some things that said, it's amazing that I've noticed by doing this kind of work, I've seen this kind of relationship before, where we had a bunch of people come on the show that night and said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Everything was going fantastic, and all of a sudden, it's not because of arguing and fighting or something broke down. Someone decided to take a 180 and go the other direction, and it was trying to figure out, trying to find and try to understand exactly what happened. And it wasn't until everybody understood that what was going on was real. It's just one person accepts it, the other person's questioning it, and the influence or the their support doesn't understand it either. And they're just giving them advice because they think they have to. But also looking at the friends that we have friends that we attract in our lives in certain periods of our lives when we're definitely making decisions through fear. That we attract friends like that too, that are based on fear. So when we have these things, it's like trying to help people understand that when you're in a situation. So okay, we got two people here, got a guy and a woman. On the one side, the guy's got all these supportive friends. All they can see is nothing but positive things with this relationship, and this girl, and the situation. And they're also very respectful of not him, but his girlfriend and the relationship, to the point where they call, they bow out and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll call you back. Now, on the other side, we have the friends of the woman. They're not so nice. All they can see is the negative side. All they can see is negative stuff. They don't see no positive in this thing at all, even in the point of positive things happening. Everything I said I was going to do, everything I told was the truth. Everything I did, I did. But they didn't want to look at that. They were always looking between the lines. They were always looking for something. And it was like, because she even asked me the question, why do people on my side And there were a couple of people, don't get me wrong, there was a couple of people that did see some positive. But it was amazing to see the positive and negative side of a relationship by using the man and the woman to see positive. And then the friends on her side were all, when they were in the picture, wanted all this attention, constantly wanting attention. You know, and when you sort of look at situations like this, all you can do is look at those friends as being nothing but disrespectful. Not just when she, it's like you have chosen to be with a certain person. And we know for a fact, in the process of finding the significant one, your friends and family are going to take a back seat. Because that's the norm. It's not, you know, that's what happens. When you have a person in your life, you say, you're my one and only. You're my significant other. And then you make them number two. Don't ever expect a positive outcome on that one. Because that's a lie. You're sitting there saying one thing, but then your actions dictate another. And then when you start seeing the, and like I said before, it was another fear I saw too, not with just her, but with a lot of couples, that you hear that. My friends and family are very important, to the point where they start saying, I need to get rid of the boyfriend. Not because he's bad, not because of anything he's done. It's because everybody says he might have the potential of doing something. Which means the people on that side of the freaking realm are all doing nothing but feeding into the fear. So they can't love. They can't be loving, nurturing friends because they're only feeding into the fear. That's all they're doing. And you can't, if you're fearful, you can't love. If you love, you can't fear. That's what we were saying, that's what he's talking about. When you follow your heart, you always know the truth. You always know how to go. That's why it's always spontaneous, because you feel good about it. That's what I was saying with the situation. I understand what you're saying. When you have people and you have friends, it's great to have friends like that. But it's also great to have friends, once you make your decision, if they keep badgering you all the time, that's not respect. That's not respect either. And if you allow it to continue, there's no respect. You're not giving any respect for yourself either. And I'm just saying, if you have a significant person in your life that you don't take any kind of consideration, that your friends or family are always right –